The idea of the chag, I mean, every chag is really a limud, and the chag is supposed to leave a person with certain ideas, certain concepts. And the chag asukos, the philosophical ideas, the culmination of the chag, one of the major aspects of the chag, if not the major aspect of the chag, is really the Simchas Beis HaShoeva. Simchas Beis HaShoeva. So I would like to...
Okay, you here?
Yeah, are you there?
Yep, you all here?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I would like to eventually, to eventually bring out what the central idea of the Simchas Beis HaShoeva is, and how the Torah fitted in to the whole system of the mitzvahs of the chag, and what exactly it means, the Simchas Beis HaShoeva. Okay, essentially, what is the meaning of Simchas Beis HaShoeva? So I'd like to organize, some of the ideas that from the Gemaras, and to show that the what exactly the structure and the nature of it is. Nothing in our system is simple. I mean, for instance, you have the shir shel yom, right, or the shir that the Levim would say in the Midrash. So everybody thinks of a shir like a hymn. But really, the shir is not really the idea of hymns to God is not really a correct translation of what the shir is. I'll give you an example. For instance, the Gemara in Sukkot and Hayamid Aleph says, what was the shir they said on the second day of Chol HaMoed? So the second day on Chol HaMoed, so they said, V'larosha Omar Lakim. Okay, which is Tilim Nun. So Rashi explains that that this whole Mizmar is really Divrei Krushin, and that sofim la'azara la'mitzvah sachag u'smechim simcha sachag u'mochicho malachol la'sapar chukai. Because the pasuk says in Tehillim v'la'rosh ha'malakim malachol la'sapar chukai. So God says to the Russia, what business do you have saying, being involved in my chukim, meaning learning Torah? The Russia learning Torah is a tar to the sasri. It's a contradiction. Intrinsic contradiction. So the mizmor really is a mizmor of divrei tochacha and divrei musa. And essentially, what the mizmor says, the way Rashi spells it out, so the mizmor, he says, klama lama lacha lava labayis zeh im shaar ami im ein chachoze b'tshuva. So Rashi says, so this was something. That was, this mizmor was said because the people were gathered together and they're smechem b'simchas achag, enjoying the simchas achag, and they mochiach, they reprove the people with this mizmor, because the mizmor says to the Russia, why are you Russia? Why are you learning Torah? So Ba'oso mizmor k'siv zvach le'lokim toda v'shalim le'elyon nidorecha al shechag asuko zman bal ta'achahu l'shor shodom k'sidron v'sof ha'mizmor zaveach tori chabed nani v'som derach arenu b'yesh le'lokim. So really, what is the idea of the mizmor? So the idea of the mizmor is what business do you have to learn Torah? So basically, it describes the Russia and the Russia's involvement in Lashon Hara and in destroying others, and basically expressing his instincts through the verbal, the way man does, a man is is capable of doing, and therefore God says this Russia has no business to be learning Torah. So it's a tata de sasri. So therefore Rashi says that the people can't come to the chag because of the simchas chag. So the Levim say this shir, and this shir says to them that what God is saying to them, so to speak, what are you coming to my bias? It's a country. What are you coming to my bias and being sameach when you're really not chozer b'tshuva? When you're not chozer b'tshuva, and the end of the mizmor is binu nozos shochach elaka pen etrof ein matzils ve'achtori chabed noni. Yichab donani, I'm sorry. V'som derach arenu b'gei shalakim. V'som derach, so Rashi says, Hoshev alai. Anim olamed. V'som derach, anim olam v'som derach lachotim, Moshev alai. Ani arenu b'gei shalakim. So really, what is the Mizma saying? The Mizma saying is the first thing is that the person has to do, the Rashi has to do, in order to be chozer b'tshuva, is to recognize that he's in contradiction, and that he has no business really being in Beis Hashem. That's the beginning of tshuva. Once he recognizes that, then he can be chazer b'tshuva. But as long as the Russia, it means to say that the worst Russia is a Russia Talmud Chacham. Because a Russia Talmud Chacham is, it will never be chazer b'tshuva. Because since he learns Torah, so he's mesaper chukei Hashem, so it's virtually impossible for him to be a chazer b'tshuva because he feels he's a great Talmud Chacham. So that's why God says, the first step in tshuva, it's not that God gives up from the Russia, but it means to say that God shows the Russia the first step that he has to do is to stop learning. To realize that his Talmud Torah is a total contradiction, is a total contradiction to his very essence. And then God says, if he's chozer b'tshuva, so then I'll show him the derech to work his way back to HaKadosh Baruch. So it comes out that that mizmor is the mizmor they say in the second day of Chol HaMoed to the people that come to the Beis HaMikdash. So that's what Rashi explains. He says, the first thing that you have to realize is you have no place over here. Which means to say that a person that comes to the Simchas HaMikdash, Simchas Beis HaShoeva, so he thinks he's sameach in the Mikdash, so he feels like he's a great tzaddik, he's involved in the simcha, but he's forgetting that basically with his, since he's not a chozer b'tshuva, his whole simcha is really a contradiction. And the best thing for him would be not to be there. That's the shir shel yom of the second day Chol HaMoed. Yeah, and as long as he doesn't realize the contradiction, there's no hope for him. There's basically no hope. Because he's going to continue on his path, and his path is such that he does mitzvahs, and he so to speak, he revels in his mitzvahs, and that prevents him from the realization of what he actually is. So the mitzvahs there serve as a barrier. The very mitzvah, which is supposed to bring a person close to God, can in this case is the worst thing for the individual, and puts him in a state where he can't even begin to be chazer b'tshuva. That's basically what the mizmor is. So I ask you, does that sound like a hymn? And people say, the shir, in the Mikdash, you say, hymns to God. That idea is the idea that Goyim have. But Yehadus is not so simple. Of course, the shir is a shevach l'kodesh baruch hu. But the emphasis of the shir is really not so much the shevach l'kodesh baruch hu, but the realization of the purpose of Shvacha Shel Makom is really for man's perfection. And it's an interesting thing, but basically, that's in the very same parak. Because in the very same parak, in Nun, so God says, Lo al zavachecha ochichecha. Lo ekach mi beischa par, mi michlo secha atudin. Why? God says, I don't need these kabbanas. Ki liko chaisa yor, behemos bahari olaf. Yadati kalofarim v'ziz sadayimadi im erev lo amaloch ki li seva lo maloa ha'ochal basar abirim v'damatu demeshna. So zvach lelokim todo v'shalim le'elyon nidorecha. So what is the Pasuk saying? The Pasuk saying that the whole emphasis, the whole purpose of the Kabbanis, and this is Yesoda Das, is for you. It's only for you. God doesn't need the Kabbanis. He's not hungry. He doesn't need the Besara Tudim. And therefore, the mistaken notion that you are doing something for God is the worst, the most corrupt idea. And this, on the contrary, leads a person to remain in his folly and his corruption. But the true idea is a person recognizes, on the contrary, that all the kabbonis and all the mitzvahs is really chesed Hashem for bnei Odom, so that they could really reach a state of perfection. So that's really the mizmah. So therefore, basically what the whole idea of the mizmah is, the idea of the mizmah is that the sheer lamakom, a hymn to God, is really in Yahadus, the emphasis is reversed, so to speak. Don't worry so much about the hymn to God. I mean, God doesn't need the hymn. And the hymn is meaningless, like the Ramban says, because anything we say is nonsense in God's eyes. But the Shvacha Shel Makom is really just a means of perfection of man. As long as man is not perfected, it's simply worthless. So the whole idea of Shir in the Migdash is a different concept of Shir. It's a different idea of Shir than most people think. Just hymns and praise to God. It's the emphasis, of course, it's Shevach Lamakom. But the Shevach Lamakom is based on the fact that the one that's giving the Shevach, the emphasis on the one that's giving the Shevach, that person should be in a perfected state. And if there's no perfection in that individual, so the whole share is worthless. God doesn't need to share. Yeah.
Same concept applies to
Tefillah. Yeah, same concept applies to Tefillah. Yeah, that's correct. So I just want to show you. I mean, so you see that in our system, nothing is simple. I mean, even the idea of a shear is totally different. I mean, if you go through the shear shel yom in the Gemara, the Gemara Daf Nun Hamed Aleph in Sukkah, you'll find that every shear is a totally different idea than you'd imagine a shear. I mean, one's Divrei Tanchumin, one is of course it's all tied in Shvach Hashem Makom, but mostly Divrei Musar. Divrei Musar is really what the shear is. That's the shear. The shear to God is when man perfects himself and he's in a proper position to be a Mishabeach on a human level. Okay. So that's basically the first thing I wanted to mention. But getting back to the concept of the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, Simchas Beis HaShoeva, what is the Simchas Beis HaShoeva? So Simchas Beis HaShoeva is very interesting. I mean, the Rambam mentions the Simchas Beis HaShoeva in the end of Hilchos Lulav. Yeah, by the way, I mean, this idea that we're mentioning now is found in throughout the Yad HaChazaka. Throughout the Yad HaChazaka. Because the Rambam throughout the Yad HaChazaka, whenever he comes to the end of the halachos, so the Rambam always gives a little, like a kind of a philosophy. I mean, it's like a philosophy of the mitzvah, but not so much philosophy. But he shows you how the mitzvah leads to a person to perfection, how the mitzvah is tied to perfection. So all the mitzvahs, really, purpose of all the mitzvahs is an amazing thing, because the mitzvahs are structured with the greatest depth of thought and scientific precision, but yet the purpose of the mitzvah is really to perfect the human being, and that's why the Rambam in the end of every in the end of every mitzvah he always comes back to show the connection between the mitzvah and human perfection. Very interesting. Even in areas that you think are far removed, wherever he has the opportunity, he always shows that connection, because what he's showing is basically that the whole purpose of all the mitzvahs is really to bring an individual to perfection. That's the key of Kol Torah Kula. So the interesting thing about the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, sometimes the mitzvahs are closely tied to perfection. Sometimes, in order to understand the perfection as derived from the mitzvah, you have to travel a long course. But sometimes they're very closely related. In Simchas Beis HaShoeva, they're very closely related. It's an interesting thing. But that's what I'd like to show, that the simcha, the structure of Simchas Beis HaShoeva, the mitzvah itself, is very closely related, and it's apparent. It's apparent, the perfection that man derives from the mitzvah and the structure of the mitzvah are really almost one. But anyways, let me just start off with the Rama. The Rama is very interesting. Rama says, in the end of Hilchos Lulav, so the Rama says that, he says, Afal pisha kol ha-modos mitzvah l'smolach b'ayin, even though all the Yom Tov mitzvah to be happy, b'chag ha-sukos ho-yisa b'migdash yom simcha yisera. There was an exceptional day of exceptional simcha. Shenemar, smachtum f'nei shalom kechem shivas yom. All right, then he says, V'keitzer e'osin, he gives a description, Erev yom tov rishonim esaknim migdash makam l'nashim el mailo l'nashim el mato. K'leish k'deish leis arvo elu melu. Masun l'smach mimotsoi yom tov rishon, v'chein b'chol yom v'yom yimei chol shamoi, maschilin me'acha shekri v'tomach ben abayim, l'smach l'shor hayom im kol alayla. Okay, so it was a tremendous simcha. V'heyachoysa simcha zu, so then he gives a description, the way they had the musical instruments, the umishdei v'pev, v'rogdin, u'mesafkin, u'vatafkin, u'fazin, and v'omid v'rashiris u'sishbachas. Okay, then mitzvah laharbos b'simcha zu, only observers. Okay, so the simcha essentially was done by the people who had the knowledge. Only the Gedolei Chachmei Yisrael, Rosh Yeshiva, Sanhedrin, Chassidim, Zekenim, Vanshe Maisa. Okay, so the only people they were the ones that were the performers in the Simcha, and the Shor HaOm, they were just the observers. A little different than you'd imagine, but that's the way it was. I will soon we'll come back to that point though. Yes. So. Yeah, so the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, it's an interesting thing. The Simchas Beis HaShoeva, when you really see the structure of the Chag, I mean, you could see that when a person walked away from the Migdash after Chag HaSukkos, I mean, it was a whole different, whole philosophy, they took with them a whole Derech HaChayim, a whole philosophy of Yahadus. Very interesting, very interesting. But interesting in the Rambam is, of course, the Rambam doesn't mention anything about the Beis HaShoeva, Simchas Beis HaShoeva. That's a funny thing. the Rambam sounds like this is simply a Lacham HaRaisa. Afpish kol amores mitzvah smach ben, b'chag asuk saizim b'kdej yom simcha yisera shnem asmach ben f'nei shem alakechem shivas yomen. Right, what happened to Simchas Beis HaShoeva? It doesn't mention a word about it. It's an interesting thing. Doesn't mention the main pasuk. What is the main pasuk of the Simchas Beis HaShoeva? Pasuk from Sheyo, Shafta Mayim B'Sosim. Doesn't mention it. Interesting thing. If you just read this Ram, you wouldn't even call it the Simchas Beis HaShoeva. I call it the Simcha Yisera. Okay. Let's work our way back to the Gemara, because I think there's a pivotal machlokes over here. A little bit it has to do technically with halacha, but you have to bear with me on this. There's a machlokes tanoim. It's in Sukkah daf and then Gimel on the Beis is the Mishnah, and then Dalet Amud Aleph. Okay. And there's an interesting machlokes tanoim here. And I think this machlokes tanoim. Okay. Yeah. This machlokes tanoim. I believe is really the crux of the whole tocho shel chag in terms of what the simchas beis hashoeva is, and the idea that the chag conveys. I mean, the idea that the person that went up to the regel came home with, the main idea. Okay, yeah. So Machlokes is like this. Machlokes actually is based on the Mishnah, because the Mishnah says that there were many tkiyas in the Mikdash. Many tkiyas in the Mikdash. The Mishnah gives you how many. The least amount in the day was 21. And the least amount in the day was 21, and almost always the most was 48. In general, okay. So now the Mishnah goes through some of the tkiyas. So the Mishnah says like this, that when they had, by the way, interesting thing is, and the Rambam mentions that in the Pirush Mishnayos, the Rambam mentions that the Simchas Beis HaShoeva has no mocha, no source in the Torah itself. The Rambam makes sure to mention that. He says like this. He says, the Nisach HaMayim is they pour the water on the Mizbeach. Okay? And well, the Rambam is in Pirush Mishnayos. So he says like this. He says that, Have you so this question, how much mayim, nisach hamayim, pouring the water on the mizbeach, the chag, is halacha l'moshe misina. Not found the Torah. He says, v'yesh lo remozim nistarim b'torah. He says, there are hidden remozim, hidden allusions to this practice in the Torah. V'osan she'ena maminim b'torah shebal peh, those who do not believe in Torah shebal peh, ena maminim b'nisach hamayim. They don't believe in Nisach HaMayim. Okay? Ulefichach, kishenisach zeh HaMayim ha-raglav, ragmu kol ha-ombas ragei, ulefichach yitzduki, shein ha-mayim b'nisach HaMayim. Gemara says, one time, Kayan that poured the water on his feet because he didn't want to do it because he was a tzduki, so they stoned him with their esrogan. So at any rate, so yeah, because he wasn't a minor. So it's an interesting thing, but I think there's an importance to the fact that the Rambam mentioned this. By the way, there are two things in the Chag that are both halacha l'moshe misinai, and they're related. One was netilas arava, okay, taking the arava and going around the mizbeach. That was also not mentioned in the Torah. It's also the Rambam says halacha l'moshe misinai. Those two things, and of course the tzdukim denied it. It's not in Torah Shabbosav. They weren't happy with it, and therefore they were against the Chachmei. So they always tried to wherever they could to interfere with the practice. Okay, yeah. But I think the significance that Chazal are mentioning to us, the fact, aside from the story, but there is some intrinsic significance to that very idea itself. Why it is that way? That it's only Allah al-Moshe Misinai, and it's not mentioned anywhere in the openly in the Torah. All right, we'll come back to that also. But the main point, the main machlokes. Alright, so the machlokes that I want to go into revolves around the tkiyas. Now there were 12 tkiyas on the chag that had to do with Nisach HaMayim and Mizbeach. Now there was no argument about 9 of them. They go in groups of 3. 9 of them were definitely with regard to Nisach HaMayim. 3 of them is Machlokes Tanaim. Machlokes the Chachamim and Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Alright? And I'll show you how they went. It's not so difficult. It's like this. That Shalosh, the Mishnah says, L'psichas she'arim. That's every day. Every day, psich she'arim, you had tkiyas. Let me just tell you, basically. In the Mikdash, there were 3 types of tkiyas. Okay. One type of tkiyas was tkiyas to sound an alarm, okay, a call. That's like, really, it's based on the pasuk in Baalah. So the Torah says so God told Moshe Rabbeinu to make two chatzotros and to use these chatzotros for two purposes. One purpose was when the machanos had to move, okay. But another purpose, that we'll leave that for I'm not gonna discuss that. That was a special kind of a tkiyah, tkiyas chatzotros. But the other kind was a practical tkiyah. The first one, the Masa HaMachanos, wasn't just simply a practical one. That was a tkiya that involved certain ideas, like tkiya shofar on Rosh Hashanah, because it was Alpir Hashem Yisuv, Alpir Hashem Yachano. So those tkiyas involved ideas, concepts. But the tkiya v'hoya l'chol l'mikra eido, when Moshe Rabbeinu had to call the Sekinim together to discuss something with them, something came up, or discuss an idea, whatever the purpose was, so then he also used the Chatzaisras. But that was a practical use of the Chatzaisras. The difference between the two, the way we explained it, is that when it's a practical tkiah, it's just a maisa tkiah, it's an active tkiah. But when it's a tkiah that has ideas, to convey ideas, then there's a kiyum shmia. There's not just a halacha of mikra, but there's a kiyum shmiyah, like tkiyas Rosh Hashanah. That's what Aram changed the bracha. You can't make the bracha al tkiyas shofar. It's lishmo akol shofar, because there's a kiyum of shmiyah, because the shofar is uttering ideas, conveying ideas. But where it's just a practical thing, so then it's just a maisa tkiyah, but there's no kiyum shmiyah. So v'hoya l'chol l'mikra eidah l'masa samachanos are two different tkiyas. L'mikra eidah is the act of tkiyah, calling. But l'masa machanos is a kiyum shmiyah, because it's conveying ideas. But in the Mikdash, basically, you had three types of tkiyas. One type of tkiyas were practical tkiyas. So that was every day that they made the tkiyas for psichas sharam. So Rashi explains that so the kahanim should know, to the Kahanim and Levim should know to get ready to go and do the Shir and the Birchas Kahanim and the Avodah. So that was a practical tkiyah. But then there were two other types of tkiyas. One type of tkiyah was the tkiyas on the Karbonos, from the pasuk that says Yom Simchaschem Moadechem Rosh Hashechem Skatam Bachatzotzos Alo Lasechem Valzivchei Shalmechem Voilechem Lazikon Lefnei Lekechem Nir Hashem Lekechem. So those are tkiyas of Zikaron. Those are just like the tkiyas in Rosh Hashanah. Over there, there's the tkiyas shmiyah. As a matter of fact, that both the sounds are identical. The only difference between the tkiyas of Rosh Hashanah and those tkiyas is what instrument you use. On Rosh Hashanah, it's a shofar, and in the Mikdash, it's chatzaitras. But in the structure of the sounds, they're exactly the same. The Gemara learns out one from the other. Tkiyah, true, a tkiyah, is it one, is it two, the whole machlek is tanayim. The nature of the sound is exactly the same, and structurally, the only difference is what instrument you use. By the Karbonos, you use chatzotros, and in Rosh Hashanah, you use what? Shofar. But basically, the ideas that are conveyed are the same because of the nature and structure of the sound. Yeah. Now there's a third type. So one type is practical, one type is like the tkiyas of Rosh Hashanah, the tkiyas on the Karbonos, by the Chatzaisras. But now there's a third type also. And the third type is tkiyas shel simcha. Tkiyas shel simcha. Who says that? Tosfos says that. Because the Mishnah says that when they went around the Mizbeach, okay, when they went around the Mizbeach, it says like this. Okay, mitzvah sarava ketzad. Okay, so the Mishnah goes through. They took the aravos zokvin b'tzidei mizbeach. So there were two mitzvahs. One was kifa b'tzidei mizbeach, and then it says v'roshei and kefufin al gabei mizbeach and taku v'ariu v'taku. Okay, so Tosfos says taku v'ariyu taku mishum simcha. So that's the third type of tkiyah, the tkiyah shel simcha. Okay. Now, Then our Mishnah says they did tekiyas by the Arava. Remember, there are two things again. The two things Allah Almash Mishnah. One is Arava, and the other is Nishchamayim. So the two are related in a way. All right, these two things. You see that the system excluded them from Torah Shebechsav. Okay. With regard to Nisa Hamayim, it's interesting because there the Rambam says Yesh lo remazim nistarim b'Torah. The Rambam says by a Rav it doesn't say that. Okay, because you have a Lach Lamash Mishina that is completely separate. Okay, but over here the Rambam says Nisa Hamayim Yesh lo remazim nistarim b'Torah. Okay, but anyways, the tkiyah, so you had, according to our Mishnah, you had tkiyah, true tkiyah, that's three of them, with regard to skifas arava, with regard to the mitzvah. They took the arava and there was zokef the arava on the mizbeach. And it's an interesting thing. But what did they do? So it says, b'chol yom akifin mizbeach pam achas, every day they went around the mizbeach one time, v'omrim ona Hashem ashiyano, ona Hashem atzlich, atzlichono, and v'hu ashiyano, Rabbi Yehuda says, and Bishas Petiros and Mayanomer, when they left the Mizbeach, what did they say? Strange remark. Strange mission. Yofi Lachom Mizbeach. Yofi Lachom Mizbeach. Okay. So they praised the Mizbeach. Yofi Lachom Mizbeach. It's a strange thing. But anyways, that's what the Mishnah says. That's what they did. And now, when you come back to the Mishnah and Sukkah on Ein Poksim Me Esrim V'Achas Tkiyas B'Migdash, okay, so you had like this. So according to our Mishnah, the way they did the Tkiyas in the Nisach HaMayim was as follows: that when they went out of the, when they opened up the gates to go down to get the Mayim, okay, so the first set of gates that they opened, the Shar Elyon, they blew Tkiyah through Tkiyah. Then they went down to Shar HaTachton, the lower gate, which was leaving the Migdash. They blew again three, okay. Then three more again when they came back into the Migdash. They went and they got the water, and they came back into the Migdash, and they blew three when they came into the Shar HaMayim, back into the Migdash, okay. That's the way our Mishnah had it. So the 12 that we're discussing, according to our Mishnah, were as follows. You had three for the Zekifas Arava. Okay, these are the 12 additional tkiyas. Tkiyah, true tkiyah. And the tkiyas, what kind of tkiyas? Tkiyas shel simcha. Okay, tkiyas shel simcha. Now the tkiyas shel simcha were like this. And now, according to our Mishnah, there were three with regard to zekifas arava on the mizbeach. Then with regard to milui hamayim, the shi'ivas hamayim, so you had like this. When they opened up the first set of gates, three. Well, they went down the steps into the Azara. They opened up the second set of gates, leaving the Migdash. Three again. Then they went down the Mali the Mayim. When they came back into the Shar HaMayim, they blew three again. All right? That's the way our Mishnah holds. Our Mishnah happened to Paskin like a Das Yechidah, like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. One person. But the Chachamim disagreed with this setup, because the Chachamim maintained that it was not appropriate to blow the tkiyas for the mizbeach. Okay? They objected. And they said all 12 had to do with mili amayim. How do you fit in 12 with mili amayim? So they said as follows. The upper gates, when they opened up the upper gates in the Migdash, 3. Then they had to walk down the 15 steps, so again they blew. Then the lower gates again, okay? And then, of course, when they went out and came back with the mayim through the Shar HaMayim, they blew again. So there you have 12. So you have Machloekes Tanayim. The Chachamim really hold that they blew 12, all 12, four sets of three were with regard to the Yeshiva Samayim. Whereas Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, and on Mishnah, if you don't ask Pasuk like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, he held that no, that there's only 9 over there, and 3 are really for the Zekifas Arava. Okay. So just to go a little bit into the machlokes, that why did Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov object to the idea of all 12 being by the mili hamayim? So, Rabbi Lozman Yaakov said very simply, he says, because going down steps doesn't require tkiyas. What is going down? Opening up gates, that is already, psichas shorim is an institution. You open up the gates, so you blow tkiyas. But going down steps, what does it make? You're walking on a flat surface or going down steps? So he says, therefore, it's not appropriate to have any tkiyas for going down the steps. You're in the same place, basically. And so the question is, so it's a good argument. So it's a good argument. So therefore, he says, so you can only really have 9 tkiyas when it comes to Mili Amayim. But there are 3 left over, because we knew there were 12. So he says, those 3 must have been for Zkifas Arava, Al Gabei HaMizbeach. That's also Tkiyah Shel Simcha, and we'll get into the idea of Skifas Arava, what the idea is. But the Skifas Arava, Gabei Mizbeach, he says, also should have Tkiyahs. What's wrong with that? Why should that institution be deficient? All the Tkiyahs from Mili Amayim and nothing for Skifas Arava. Not fair. You have to have something for Arava also. They're both Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. So 3 should be for Arava, and 9, okay, and then we'll give 9 for Mili Amayim, because you have the Psicha Sharm. Okay. So it seems like a good argument. So why did the Chacham object to that? So Rashi explains. Rashi says, why do they object? He says like this. He says, because they said, Kolt kilo, it's kolt kiyas halolu shel shara elyon va'tachton v'shar hamayim mishum milui amayim ho. That all the tkiyas that you have so far, the 9, are basically because of v'shaft amayim b'sasam v'simchas beis ha'shoeva. Hilkach la'arava lomali tkiya. Why should I be takeh for arava? Ha'kol hani tkiyas the mosfin b'chag. All these tkiyas that we add on the chag einon elo mishum v'shaft amayim b'sasam. That's the purpose of these tkiyas. Hilka chol gmiri cheshmen atkiyas b'chag shnei masar l'may lo asiris odif l'mi ave demucha milsa shein mishum mili amayim shetakeya l'kulon al dvara milui kiseida. Okay, so he says, so Rashi says the argument was, it sounds on the surface like a weak argument. It's because all these tkiyas are shafta mayim b'sasim. What's wrong? Wouldn't it have to all be for Shaftamayim B'sasim? Well, why does it have to all be for Shaftamayim B'sasim? Okay. So that's something that requires some understanding. Why do they object and they say you can't have any tkiyas for the Zekifas Arava, which is an equally obligatory institution? It's based on Halacha Moshe Sinai, and why is it that over here it's only because of Mili Amayim? All right, so obviously in order to understand the Machlekes, you have to understand what these 2 institutions are. So what is the let's just take what the idea of Zekifas Arava Al Gabei Mizbeach, what the idea is, and I say again that over here you're dealing with Halacha that is very closely related to philosophy. All right. Now, the as we mentioned before, that what did they do? So there was Zokef their Rav Al Gabei Mizbeach, and they walked around the Mizbeach, and then when they left the Mizbeach, they said Yofi Lachom Mizbeach, Yofi Lachom Mizbeach. Okay. Yeah. Now, what is the Yofi? What is the Yofi Lachom Mizbeach? What is this excitement about the Mizbeach? So it's interesting. The Rambam in Hilchas Tshuva talks about the Mizbeach. Rambam's Perek Aleph in Hilchas Tshuva, Halacha Gimel. So the Rambam says, the Rambam throughout says, he says that Sor Mishtaleach Lefishu Kapara Kol Yisrael Koyin Gadol Misvadolov Aloshim Kol Yisrael. Misvadolov is called one from Yisrael. Alright, so he says like this. Sor Mishtaleach Mechaper al kol averus shebatorah, kalos vachamuras. Mechaper on everything. He says, "Bein shavah bezodin, bein shavah b'shgoga, bein shahodlo, bein shalohodlo. Hakol meskaper besoyer mishdaleach." The Ram says, "V'hu shas a tshuva." That's only to the tshuva. Okay, makes sense, all right? He says, "Aval im lo as a tshuva." But if the person did not do tshuva, the Ram says, Ain't a sor machaper lo elalakalos. So, all right, looking a little better. So he says, if the person didn't do tshuva, so the sor will only help him for the kalos, right? Umahein hakalos amayin hachamuros, right? So he says, the chamuros ain't shechayev maleim misas beznakaros. Ushvus shavasheka af bishem makaros is also chamuros. Ushar mitzvahs lo sasa mitzvah se shein ben kores heim hakalos. He says those the other lo sasa, the person ate chaza, for instance, so it's kalos. So the sor is mechaper even without tshuva, is mechaper for the kalos. All right, so immediately it sounds a little strange, but all right. But no one's gonna fight that. I mean, you get a kapara, so you take it. Yeah. So then the Ram goes on in Halacha Gimel. He says, "Bizman hazeh she'ein beis hamikdash kayam ve'ein lanu mizbach kapara." He says, "Ein shom ela tshuva." Nowadays you don't have a mizbeach, so there's only tshuva. That's all there is. He says, "Tshuva mechaper so kol averus, tshuva mechaper on everything." All right. Afilu Rasha kol yom avos tshuva b'achrona imaskirim lo shum dovim rishu shenema rishu rosh leikasha ba b'yom shuva marisho. That's it. So today there's no more. So there's no more mizbach kapara. Okay, ein beis hamikdash kayom the ein lanu mizbach kapara ein shom ela tshuva. Okay, so the Rambam, so he says, and then he says va'atzmo shel yom kippur mechaper l'shovim shenema ki yom hazeh chaper alecha. Afo pisha tshuva mechaper asal hakol. He says, okay, so then he goes into yesh v'eshem eskap moshaitan. That's a different thing. When the actual kapara takes place, but. Basically, the difficulty in the Rambam is, first of all, the Rambam says, "Bizman hazeh she'ein lanu mizbach kapara." So what is mizbach kapara? Mizbach kapara is not sora mishtaleach. I mean, it's true, that's the base, bizman lanu base hamikdash. I mean, see, I have no sora mishtaleach. But the mizbach kapara is not the sora mishtaleach, because the sora mishtaleach, they were a makriv on the mizbeach. Okay, as you know, I mean, sora mishtaleach was on the tzuk. On the side of the mountain. So when the Ram says Mizbach Kapar, the Ram is talking about a regular carbon, like he said before. That when a person does tshuva, so what does he have to do? He says the chayim balechatos vashomos beis shemavian carbon asen al shigagosan or al zdonon ein miskapel ember carbono machiyasu tshuva. Okay. So therefore, the only time the kapar is going to work with a carbon is with tshuva. So it turns out that with the mizbeach, it turns out with the mizbeach, you also need a tshuva. So what is Ram saying? Bizman hazeh she'ein lanu mizbach kapara, you only have tshuva. And what's so bad about that? So what? So basically, when a person had to bring a carbon, he had to do tshuva anyways. Okay, otherwise he has no kapar. So what is the advantage of the mizbeach? And the tshuva is mechaper l'kol anyways. Correct? So what is the, says the tshuva is mechaper l'kol, so the question is, if tshuva is mechaper l'kol, so what's the problem? I mean, so what's the problem? So it's wonderful. So who needs a mizbach kapara? Maybe better without it. The contrary. You do tshuva and tshuva is mechaper l'kol. Yes. So we're going to say it like this. The truth of the matter is, that with regard to tshuva and kapara, there are two things. It means like this. That you see, like for instance, the pasuk says, the Ram says that he says ketzad. He says ovar avera vasa tshuva inazaz mishom achemochun lo beilu nema shuvu bonim shovim erpa meshuva sechem. So really, there's two things involved in kapara. One thing that's involved in kapara is the state of the soul, insofar as its relationship to God. Okay. Now that of course tshuva changes, because God doesn't bear a grudge. So therefore, if the person is a shov, so it's logical. It's logical that now that he's a shov from his avera, that he's now in this, his soul is removed from the state of evil that it was attached to before, And therefore, before God, his soul is in a perfected state vis-a-vis that of error. That's a logical thing. But then there's something else. When a person is a chote, a person deviates from the norm, so there's a price he has to pay for the deviation. There's a certain responsibility. A person makes a mistake. So a person makes a mistake in life. He marries the wrong woman. You say he could be a shove later, so you say that he sees he made a mistake. All right, so vis-a-vis that area, he's perfected. But meantime, he's married. I mean, there are things to the wrong person. So there are things that tshuva basically, you understand, tshuva basically can undo the evil state, the distorted state of the soul. But a person in this life is living in a realm of reality where if you make an error, you commit an error, you make a mistake. So it's true that insofar as the perfection of the soul is concerned, you can learn and gain ideas. But insofar as the effects are concerned, you're stuck with the effects. You're stuck with the effects. So basically what the Rambam is saying is that was really the institution of Mizbeach. Mizbeach was a different kind of kapar. Different kind of kapar. It means to say in Mizbeach that the Torah by creating the institution of kapara for man, what it did was, ordinarily, if Klal Yisrael, and so far as Klal Yisrael is concerned, so if Klal Yisrael deviates, strays from the path of Torah, so what happens is, so now there are certain results, they've made committed certain errors, and now they have to suffer certain consequences. So, because they're not Am Hashem anymore. So, insofar as the Chozer B'Tshuva, yes, it's true. So the state of the soul is perfected. But what about the concept of Am Hashem? How do you restore that? So the Torah created a whole institution of Kabbonis and Mizbeach and incorporated it into the system. So that when God created that institution, it means that Klal Yisrael, in spite of their Chatayim, are still the Am Hashem because of the way God structured the whole system with Mizbeach. That was the institution of Mizbeach. Mizbeach brought a different kind, a different level, a different kind of a kapara. It means to say that the Am Hashem, even though they may have deviated and they should have lost their status and suffer the consequences of the loss, but by having Mizbeach there, the institution of Mizbeach and the halachic, the fact that God gave Mizbeach the proper halachic recognition and significance means that in spite of the fact that they were chotim, they still are Am Hashem, and therefore the bringing of the Kabbonis, the Mizbeach, restores the relationship between the Am Hashem and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, that's what it means when the pasuk says "Erpa Meshuvo Sechem." What does it mean "Erpa Meshuvo Sechem"? If it says "Shuva Banim Shavim," what does it have to have "Erpa Meshuvo Sechem"? Shuva Banim Shavim, fine. Why does God have to be Merape? So it means that because of the institution of Mizbeach and Kapara, so God undoes the Meshuvo Sechem, means that you went off the path. So He restores the path, and therefore it's as if. Vis-a-vis the consequences, as if you're not a chote. That's really what kapara is. See, tshuva, mechila, and kapara are two different things. Mechila really is insofar as the soul is concerned, the soul's status insofar as its relationship to God. That's what mechila really is. Slicha is like the Rav said, slicha is like a pardon. The Rav said, slicha is like with a warden, if somebody has a death penalty and the governor gives a pardon, so that's slicha. It doesn't mean he's not nemcha, he's still a murderer, but he is slicha, pardon. Mechila savon is where the soul is restored to its original relationship with God, insofar as that chait that he did tshuva on is concerned, but it's only as far as the soul is concerned. Kapara is the change in the evil consequences that the chait results in. You see, that's a different kind of a thing. That's erpa meshuvasecha. That only God can do. Can't do that. We can't do that. You can do tshuva, and you can have mechila, but kapara is a different kind of a thing. And that's why, that explains also why the Sora Mishtalech. How could the Sora Mishtalech be machaper for Klal Yisrael, even though they didn't do tshuva on Kalas? Kalas are pretty serious. President Chazar, how could it be, how could it work? The answer is, for the Klal, because of the fact that what actually would cause the evil consequences is the fact that the Am loses its status as the Am Hashem. Because if it's the Am Hashem, so then it has a certain status, and a certain, it's under a certain Hashgacha. The moment it loses the status, it loses that Hashgacha. But since HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the institution of Migdash and Kayim Gadol and Vidui and Sarei Mishtaleach, and because we have that institution and it's part of the system of Yahadus, so therefore, even though Jews are over the Losasei, but if it's only Kalos, it's not the Chamuros, so the Sora Mishtaleach removes the evil consequences. Does it restore the individual soul? Mechila, no. Can't. It's impossible. Because as long as the person is a Tov of a Shav, as long as the person is not a Shav, so of course his soul remains in an imperfected state. But will the Am suffer the consequences because of that? No, as long as you have the Sora Mishtaleach, won't. But once you don't have the Sora Mishtaleach, will. And that's why Bizman Hazeh, that's what the Ram means. The Ram says that Bizman Sheh Beis HaMikdash Hayah Kayam, it was a different kind of Hashgacha. Because the institutions of the Torah were working completely, fully. And therefore the status of Avam Hashem was always maintained because of these institutions. And therefore was a different Hashgacha. And therefore was a different kind of Kapara. But that's what the Rambam means when he says, "Bizman hazeh she'ein beis hamikdash kayam ve'ein lanu mizbach kapara ein shem al tshuva." Now we're at a significant loss because of the fact that you don't have the mizbeach anymore, you don't have the mikdash anymore. So the Am Hashem isn't capable. You see, of being placed in a certain position vis-a-vis the Ashgacha anymore, because there's no more Migdash and there's no more Mizbeach. And Mizbeach and Migdash served as Kapara, not just Mechila, but Kapara was a different level of Kapara. So when a person brought a carbon into the Migdash, it was Tshuva and Kapara, but the Kapara was on a different level. But Bizman said, we don't have the level anymore. So therefore, it's true, you can undo the evil of the soul, you can rectify the evil state of the soul through tshuva, but the kapara, the consequences, changing the ashgacha, that we can't do. That we're at a loss. Tshuva, of course, also brings about kapara. But the kapara of tshuva is not the same thing as the kapara of Mizbeach HaMikdash. It's a different kind of a thing. So therefore, while you can restore your state vis-a-vis HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but the kapara, undoing the evil consequences, that we don't have the ability anymore, since we lost the Mikdash and we lost the Mizbach kapara. That's what the Rambam is basically saying. So now you understand, now you see how, sure, of course. So even though, see, that's what the Rambam says. Rambam says, that's why that's interesting. The Rambam says, Va'atzmo shel yom ha-kippur mechaper l'shavim. So he says, Ein sham ela tshuva. I'm a tshuva mechaperes ha-kol averes. That's an halacha gimel. Okay? And then he says, Va'atzmo shel yom ha-kippur mechaper l'shavim. So it's repetitious. If you have tshuva, what do you have to have atzmo shel yom ha-kippur? If he's a shav, so he's a shav. You understand? I mean, there are many tzuts we can say that, but I think there's a pasha to teretz. A simple teretz is, Atzmo shel yom ha-kippur mechaper, and tshuva's mechaper, because kapara is dealing not simply with the restoring of the state of the soul, but it's dealing with removing the consequences. So there, tshuva's a machaper, but atzmo shel yom kippurim is machaper too. As long as Klal Yisrael keeps yom kippurim, it means the yom kippurim keeps them in a certain status. In a certain status, hashochin itam besochtem osam, ki yom zeh yachaper alechem, lataraschem, mikol chataysechem, lefnei Hashem tataru. So as long as you have that, so then the status of Klal Yisrael as the Am Hashem is not lost. Not as great as when you had the Sar Mishalech and the Beis HaMikdash and the Mizbach Kapara. Can't help that. We don't have that anymore. But we're still hanging on Tshuva and Yom Kippurim. That's what we're really depending on. That's what the Rambam said. So it's a loss. It's a serious loss. I mean, that's why you have Tisha B'Av. Tshuva's enough. Tshuva's very nice. Tshuva's fine insofar. Tshuva's very good and perfect insofar as Chai Olam Habo is concerned. But even Chai Olam Habo actually is tully in a lot of the in a person's life is dependent upon a lot of experience of the individual. And if you can't make changes, I mean, it could affect that as well. So the idea of kapara, the idea of kapara really is in our day incomplete because we don't have the mikdash and you don't have the mizbach kapara. So therefore the ashgacha is in a reduced state, not in the same state. And that's basically, I mean, it's not a chiddush. What does mikdash v'shachanti b'socham? So what does shachanti b'socham mean? It means ashrash chinu. What does ashrash chinu mean? Ashgacha. So it means to say that b'zman hazeh we don't have that ashgacha. We don't have that ashgacha. We suffer because of the fact that we don't have that ashgacha. It's not just a matter of we don't have Maisa Kabanis. It's a matter of where we suffer in our personal lives, and that's why we have Tisha B'Av. Okay. See, you have to say the word Kapara really means like completely removed, completely wiped off. So if you say Mises a Kapara, it means that till the day he dies, he can suffer the consequences of his chet. That's basically what it means. Yeah. Plus, there's a negative. He says that means to say there's no kapara till the day you die, which means to say that the consequences are always there. It's both, but essentially it's rooted in the am, but it affects the individual as well. Of course, the individual, insofar as he's part of the am. An individual brings a carbon to the Beis HaMikdash is a different kind of, he's a component of the whole system of Klal Yisrael and Mikdash, and it's the individual insofar as he's a part of the Yom, which you can't really, you can't extricate the individual from the Yom. That's impossible, yeah. No, that's good, that's right. You're right about it. That's right, that it's impossible to, that's Yimos HaMashiach and then the rebuilding of the Bayis Shlishi. Okay, that's the whole idea. Yep. See, by the Chamuros, if they're not Shav, it means to say that it's a breach in the Am Hashem, and you can't, then it doesn't work. It means to say, then it's hypocritical. In other words, bringing kabbonis and the people hanging on to the various chamuras is impossible. It's a tie to the sasri to the whole system. Then it doesn't do anything. Then it's nothing. If the ummah is still over chay v'krisis and mises bezden, then it's, the whole thing is butlum of it. Just doesn't make any sense. Yeah, that chiddush. That's correct. That's right. In spite of kalis you can live with, but the chamuras means that then the whole thing is butlum of it. There's a degree, a limit. This is all Chachmas Hashem and incorporating the Migdash and Mizbeach and Karbonais into the whole system of Yahadus was done in God's infinite Chachma in order to maintain the Am Hashem. I mean, that's the purpose of it, and it works. But it only works to a certain degree. There has to be a rationale to it. You can't have people just being keeping on with the various chamuras and just bring kabbonis, and then it's ridiculous. Okay, yeah. So now you understand what tkifas are. Yes, sir. Hello. Yeah, I'll try. Yeah. I hope I make that clear. Hatshuva my migdash. Exactly. Yeah. Okay. Let me clarify. In other words, what we're saying here is that there are two frameworks. There's a framework of the Zman Shebeis HaMikdash a Kayam of Kapara, which we don't have that. And in that framework, there are things to do to reach the ultimate effect of that framework. Then there are frameworks, Bizman HaZeh, the framework is smaller. Hatshuva Mechaperes Al HaKol means within this framework. But you can't make the framework any bigger. You see, that's That's the explanation to the Rambam. Bizman hazeh she'ein beis hamikdash kayam ve'ein lanu mizbach kapara, ein shem al hatshuva. Hatshuva mechaperas al kol averus. That sounds like a tata de sasri. Ein shem al hatshuva means this is all we have. Hatshuva mechaperas kol averus. What's the problem? But the answer is, ein shem al hatshuva means we have a different framework of kapara bizman hazeh. In that framework, there's only tshuva. Tshuva gets rid of all the averus, but in that framework, that's what the Rambam means. But it's a different framework, you see. Yeah, it's a smaller framework. That's better than the Rambam saying. That's what the Rambam means. The consequence of having a smaller framework is that you can't undo the consequences of the Avera to the same degree. It's a different degree. That's what it is.
Like
what? So now you understand. Now you understand what the Zekifas Arava was in the Mikdash with the Mizbeach. What the whole thing with the Mizbeach? That they went around the Mizbeach, and then in the end they said, Yofi Lecha Mizbeach. What is this praise to the Mizbeach? As a matter of fact, the way the Mishnah, you have it would seem in the Mishnah that one Tana made a little bit of a change in the Lashon, because he was a little concerned. He says, Rabbi Lazar, lekav aloch mizbeach. Okay, yes, so the Gemara says, that's even worse, the Gemara says, because the Gemara says, kol mashatif shen shemayim v'dover achan nekam an olam, so how could he say such a thing? So he says, no. It means, because shenem bilti l'ashem levado. So the Gemara says, hoch kama, leko anachnu modim v'loch anu mishabchim. Leko anachnu modim v'loch anu makalsim. So Rashi says, so what does it mean? It gives, leko anu modim shehu alekenu. Okay, so that's where the laws have changed the lesson a little bit, because he apparently was afraid. He's talking about, I mean, it's all a Kadosh Baruch Hu, so it's l'ka anu meshabchim, l'ka anu modim. Rashi's modim means from lashon, not from lashon hod, but it means the idea that we recognize l'ka anu modim shehu alekenu. So it's true that over here, you see, sometimes the Torah feels, the Torah allows to give something a personality, like the Rav said with regard to Mizmor Shel Yom HaShabbos. You can sing a shir to the Yom HaShabbos. So you get Shabbos, you have a right to make the Shabbos into a personality. You need a matzah for that. Okay, Yantif, you can't do that. Only Shabbos. So over here, because of the importance of Mizbeach and what Mizbeach meant to Klal Yisrael, so there's a matir to say Yofi Lecha Mizbeach. Why? To express the Simcha that you have the Mizbeach and that the Ashkacha is operating fully with regard to Klal Yisrael. So you have a right to say Yofi Lecha Mizbeach. Rabbi Lazar said, the Rabbi Lazar didn't like that. He said, you should say Lecha Anu Modim, and the Mizbeach with Mishabeach, because God allows you to function as a kapara. Because he was concerned, you shouldn't just say Yofi Lecha Mizbeach, make the Mizbeach into a personality. He was concerned about that. Without emphasizing the fact that it's not the Mizbeach that we're happy about, it's the Chesed Hashem that he gave us the Mizbeach. So Rabbi Lazar changed the Lashon a little bit. But basically you see that Yahadus, because of the importance and the significance of Mizbeach, and because of the Simcha, it gave a matir for a person to speak to the Mizbeach as if it's a personality. Yofi Lecha Mizbeach. So because of the significance of Mizbeach and Kapara, and the Chesed Hashem that he incorporated Karbonis and Mizbeach and Migdash, so that we could still retain our status and be able to achieve and attain Kapar. So it's an interesting thing. So you see that the Sukkos isn't just accidentally after Yom Kippur. Because Yom Kippurim, people walk away, say, oh, it's very nice, we have a Kapar, very good. And now we go home, be happy, clean slate, bye. No, Yadis says that's the time to really first pick it up from there. Oh yeah, so you have a kapara? It's very nice to have a kapara. But now you should be Mishabeach HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the fact that he gave you such an institution of Mizbeach and Migdash, and he allowed you to reinstate your status as the Am Hashem. Can't walk away after Yom Kippurim. So the Chag comes right in with the Halacha L'Moshe Sinai of Mizbeach and Arava and Yofi L'Chol Mizbeach, and according to our Mishnah, which Paskin like Elos Ben Yaakov, and the idea of Tkiyas Shel Simcha about the Mizbeach. It's an amazing thing, but it's a direct line. See, a direct line from Rosh Hashanah. It starts off with Malchius, Yom Malchius HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yom HaKippurim of Kapara, and then the Shevach V'Hodah that you have Kapara. You can't walk away from Yom HaKippurim and just go home. You can't just stay home after Yom HaKippurim. Yom HaKippurim is Machayev in Aliyah L'Regel and Shevach V'Hodah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that the Am was reinstated because of his chesed of Mizbeach and Mizbach Kapara and because of Migdash. So that's why Arava has a special significance in the Chag, in Chag HaSukkos, and it's not accidental that Chag HaSukkos comes after the Yom HaNorayim, after Yom HaKippurim, after Yom HaKippurim, direct link after Yom HaKippurim. So that's one link, that's one line. You have Malchius, Yom HaKippurim, Kapara, and then you have Arava and Mizbeach. Okay, the Halacha L'Moshe Sinai comes in and brings in Arava and Shevach V'Hodah, Yofi L'Chol Mizbeach, Shevach V'Hodah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the institution. Okay, that's one line. It's an interesting thing. That's one line from Yom Kippurim to the Chag. Okay, yeah. I mentioned also the fact that the you see that the, I mean, that's really the whole essence of a Hajj. Of course, the highest emphasis of person of attributing a personality to something is really the Torah itself. Really the Torah itself. And that you see in the Hadra. You see when you finish a Masechta, it's like I mentioned it says the Levush says that why do you they quote Levush, the Masechta I sort of brought down Levush. It says, why do you start the Torah right after you finish the Torah? So he says, because the Satan shouldn't say to God, you see, the Jews, they finish the Torah, say goodbye. Okay. So he says, and why don't you do that on Rosh Hashanah? After all, so it's an annual cycle, so you should finish it by Rosh Hashanah. So he says, no, because then the Satan would know when Rosh Hashanah is, and it'll come before God against the Jews on Rosh Hashanah. So first of all, the Gemara says that you do the Tkiyas L'Arvah Sutton, so apparently Sutton doesn't know Rosh Hashanah. Besides, it would be a strange thing to say that Sutton really follows through the whole Kriyas Torah all year round, and he's capable of doing that, but he somehow or other he can't look at a calendar. He can't read a calendar. So it's a strange idea. So I said, but the truth of the matter is, if you take what the Levush says in a different way, you'll see it makes sense. In other words, like this, that basically what he's saying is that instead of the Sutton, of course, Zu Sutton, Zu Yetzirah, Zu Malach HaMavos, instead of the Sutton, what he's talking about is a person's need, psychological need for a sense of accomplishment. So what he's saying is, that's why you do it that way. In other words, the sense of accomplishment really in man expresses itself in two ways. One, when he finishes something, he wants to just feel he's free. That's it. He finished, he accomplished, he worked for the goal. Now he wants to have a moment when he can relax and just enjoy the accomplishment. Okay? So that's what he's saying. That's the sort. So that's why when you finish the Torah, you have to start Bereishis again. To show there's no such thing in learning, there's no accomplishment, there's no finishing, there's no there's a constant involvement. And on the contrary, so far as the person is involved in accomplishment, he's not involved in that Torah Shlo Lishma. So that's the other idea of accomplishment is that a person likes to think of accomplishment as their accomplishment being in a certain time frame. Understand? Like, I did this, I finished my work during this time, and now I'm starting. Person in accomplishment likes things to fit into a pattern. A person likes to see a pattern in their life. So therefore, that's what he means. He means that if you'd finished before Rosh Hashanah, so then the Sutton would still be around. Because the person would have the satisfaction, I finished the annual cycle, and now I'm ready for the next. See? So that would be the Sutton being Makatre on Rosh Hashanah. So Rosh Hashanah would become a source of the Sutton's being Makatre. So it really makes sense, but you have to understand what the word Sutton means. The word Sutton over there means a sense of consciousness. But basically, what I wanted to get to was, in a Hadron is the highest level of personifying something. It's the personification of Torah. Because what do you say in a Hadron? You say, Hadron Allah Masechet, whichever Masechet the person is involved in, the Daitach Allah, the Daitan Allah. And then you say, Hadron Allah, the Daitach Allah. And lo nisnashi minach, lo sisnashi minon. So you go up and back, and you talk about the Torah as if it's a person, basically. I mean, so you see, you personify Torah. That's the highest personification, really. And it's based on the pasuk. The pasuk says, Emel chokhma chosiyat. Emel chokhma chosiyat means that that chokhma is something that you really can't tack down, and you can't really tack it down. You can study logic. The person can study logic all their life, and of course Chachma works with a certain structure, but there's an underlying sense of Chachma that logic cannot explain. Logic is just the rules, but of course the relationship to Chachma is a very personal relationship. That's why the greatest thinkers of the world produce their thoughts not because of logic. They weren't the biggest logicians. Logicians produce ideas and logic. But the ones that that work in the areas of science, the biggest scientists, were not the biggest logicians. So it's because there's a sense of chachma. Of course, what you produce has to be logical. It's not logical, it's wrong. But the emol chachma chosia means that you have to know chachma like a person. Like a person knows his sister, knows the individual, he's familiar with the person. That's really the true sense. Of a person's relationship to chachma. It's almost like a relationship to a personality. So the idea of personifying something in the highest form really is in Torah itself. That the Torah is like a person. The Torah is, you look at the Torah like a personality. Okay. That's the greatest form of that type of expression. Okay. What? It's a certain kind of emotional attitude towards chachma. And that attitude is the one that's most productive and the one that channels the energies of the human being towards the... that's why you see throughout the Navi, I mean, it's the Isha Tova. The Isha Tova is his Torah. I mean, the whole idea of the Eishes Chayal is really Chazal says it's Torah. It's Torah. Eishes Chayal. It means that the person's energy should be channeled in that way. Like
the strong choice the person has with that.
All right. So let's go back now. All right, to the. So we established this one line that goes from Yom Kippur into the Chag, and that is in the Simchas HaMizbeach. That's what we said last week. Simchas HaMizbeach. Okay. All right, I'll move around a little bit. Let's go back now. We mentioned that there are three types of tekiyas in the Mikdash, okay? One type of tekiyas in the Mikdash is the tekiyas for Psichas Shor. Okay, and those are tekiyas...
Okay, you're on.
Okay, one type of tekiyas in the Mikdash. Now we're going back to the tekiyas. Three types of tekiyas. One type of tekiyas in the Mikdash is tekiyas for Psichas Sharim. In the morning when they open up the Sharim, so they blew. What's the nature of those tekiyas? So Rashi says that those tekiyas were basically practical tekiyas that... were done in order to summon the Kehanim and Levim to Levim to Yomid al Duchan. All right. Yeah. Rashi is Shein Token L'Psichas Sharm B'Shabbos. That's the Nandalim Nolov. Shein Ola Mitzvah K'Tkiyas Shel Korban D'Chsivi B'Kros Katan B'Chatzotzos Alo Lo'Sechem V'Zuchesh Omechem Aval Hanach L'Simna Ninu. Okay, so that's basically tekiyas l'simna is derived from the tekiyas from the Tkiyas in the Pasuk, Vayilucha Lemikra Ha'eda Lemasa Asamachanos. So Lemikra Ha'eda, so Rashi says before, Nachman Gimlan Beis, Gimlan says, Hula Sinna Ba'almahu, Hei Tkiyas Shehi Lahaki Lakol Ein El Lesimin, Kishay Mosa Rosh, Rosh Rotsa Ledaber Aleyem, Ledaber Aleyem, Ein El Mitzvah. Okay. So that's what explain that there's a difference between the tkiyas which are practical tkiyas, that's a pasuk in the Torah. Vayilucha Lemikra Ha'eda Lemasa Asamachanos. So Lemikra Ha'eda is Simna, Lemasa Hamachanos is Tkiyas Shel Mitzvah. And we said the difference between the regular Tkiyas and Tkiyas Shel Mitzvah, the Tkiyas Shel Simna and the Tkiyas Shel Mitzvah, why did the Gemara say that Lemasa Hamachanos is also Tkiyas Shel Simna? But the answer is, apparently the Tkiyas for Lemasa Hamachanos is different. Over there, there's those are Tkiyas Shel Mitzvah, because over there there's a Kiyum Shmia. That's what we said. What differentiates the Tkiyas Shel Simin from the Tkiyas Shel Mitzvah is that the Tkiyas Shel Simin, there's no Kiyum Shmia. It's Halacha's the Maisa Tkiyah, the act of Tkiyah. Whereas the Tkiyas which are the Mitzvah, those Tkiyas have a Kiyum Shmia. That's why Tkiyas Shofar is Tkiyas Shel Mitzvah, means a Kiyum Shmia. That's why the bracha is l'shmoa kol shofar. So in the Mikdash you had both types. You had tkiyas which were a simon, and that's based upon the original tzivui that Moshe Rabbeinu received in the Midbar, which was to make the chatzotros, v'shel l'chashtei chatzotros kesef, v'yelucho l'mikro ha'edo l'masa samachnos. But l'masa samachnos, even though it was a simon, you see the Gemara does not say l'simno, by masa samachnos. Why? Because those tkiyas were tkiyas shel shmiya, tkiyas shel mitzvah. Because the tkiyas, Alpir Hashem Yisro, Alpir Hashem Yachano, were tkiyas that there was a kiyum shmiya, because they were tkiyas that conveyed a message, an idea. Okay, like the tkiyas of shofar. All right. So you have two groups: tkiyas shel simin and tkiyas shel mitzvah. Under tkiyas shel mitzvah, again, you have two groups. One group is like Tosfos says, the tkiyas that they did around the mizbeach, according to our Mishnah. Okay, what were those tkiyas shel mitzvah that they did around the mizbeach? What kind of tkiyas shel mitzvah was those? Tkiyas shel simcha. Okay, those are tkiyas shel simcha, and those tkiyas, it's interesting, the tkiyas shel simcha really are the tkiyas from Teresh Ba'al Peh. It's an interesting thing. Those group of tkiyas, the tkiyas shel simcha, were from Teresh Ba'al Peh. Okay? And it's Teresh Ba'al Peh. And there's another group of tkiyas, the third group of tkiyas, which is derived from the pasuk. What's the pasuk? Of Yom Simchaschem of Moadechem of Rashi Chachechem, Uskatem Bachatzotros, Alo Losechem, Val Zivche Shalmechem, Voilochem, Lorotzen, Lefnei Lekechem, Anir Hashem Lekechem. Those tkiyas were tkiyas shel mitzvah, but of a different type. Over there, they're derived from the Teresh Bechsav, from the Pasuk of Yom Sum Chaschem of Moadechem, Rosh Chachechem, Skatam Chatzotzos, Allah Vasechem, Azif Chashalmechem, Velchem, Vuzakam, Melakechem, Nisham Lakechem. Those are separate keys. They're not keys shel simcha, they're keys a la carbon. Alright. What I want to do first is, what is the nature of those keys? The keys a la carbon. Tkiyas shel simcha we understand, and tkiyas shel simcha we understand. What's the nature of the tkiyas? Suskatan b'chatzotzos alo lo'isechem v'alzifche shalmechem. So over there you have a machlokes tanoim. Machlokes tanoim with regard to those tkiyas is a machlokes. The machlokes is, let's say for instance, of yom sum chaschem v'adechem, so Shabbos is also included. Shabbos also includes. If he learns that yom sum chaschem v'adechem, yom sum chaschem rabbis Shabbos. So Shabbos is also included. Yeah, Shabbos is also included. But the Pasuk overtly speaks about the Yom Tovim, because the Kiyum, there's apparently an additional Kiyum on the in the concept of the Tkiyas, of these Tkiyas on Moed, on Yom Tov. Okay. But anyways, but the Halacha is that it's Shabbos and Yom Tov. So let's say, for instance, Shabbos comes out in Rosh Chodesh, they have Machlokes Tanoim. Shabbos comes out in Rosh Chodesh, you have Machlokes Tanoim. So some Tanoim say that you mechuyev on every Musaf, which would seem to be the logical path. Because how does it work? See, Rashi describes in the Mishnah, how does it work? So like this. He says, Teishal Atomet Shel Shachar. Okay. Kesher menaschem es nischei atamer alvim omrim b'shir, u'shlosha prakam hoyu b'shir shayim afsikin bo. V'tolken ha-kohanim ha-chatzotros, u'mishtachvim ha-om, k'disnam b'msech atamer. Higiyu l'perek, toku v'shtachvim ha-om, al-kol perek tkiyo, v'al-kol tkiyo shtachavoya. Okay. V'al-kol tkiyo ha-isa trua b'emsa p'shutul f'nel ha-charel. ובמוספים ביום שיש במוסף מוסיפים עוד תשע לשיר של מוספים. Okay, so ביום שמחסכם מועדיכם ראש החדשיכם, it means you're מוסף then. But basically they're the same tkiyas that you have על הקורבן. It's tkiyas על הקורבן. So the tkiyas על הקורבן is like this. The Levium would say שיר, and the token on Kambach HaTzotzros, so Halvim would say שיר, שלושה פרקם היו בשיר. They'd stop three times in the shir. So there was tkiyas chazotros mishtachvim ha'am, and the am was mishtachva. Okay. So what was the nature of those tkiyas? So apparently the korban is mechayev and tkiyas. Korban tom is mechayev and tkiyas, and if yom sumchaschem adechem, you must be mosif in the musaf. But the machlokes is, when you have a v'yom sumchaschem of Mo'adechem, let's say you have two fall out on the, you have Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh, let's say, so are you tekeya for every carbon, or you just, there's just one hosafa? A machlokes tanaim. Okay, it's one, it's machlokes tanaim. So simply you'd say, that halachically, since every carbon is machayev and shir. Yeah. So since it's nine. So since nine, because you stop in the shear three times, and then it's three times three. Okay. So simply you'd say, of course, the apisvara should be that every carbon is machayev and shear, and every shear is machayev and tkiyas. So the tanoim that hold that every one is chayev would seem to be the logical halachic practice. But nevertheless, you see the halacha is nifsak the other way. The Gemara refutes that side and says Tifta and says on the contrary that Yochel Kishem Dafnu Neimanov Yochel Kishem Shetoken Al Shabbos V'Nyatzmo Rosh Chodesh V'Nyatzmo Kachi Yu Token Al Kol Musaf V'Musaf Talmud Loma Over Rosh Chodeshim Tifta the Rabbi Acha Tifta. Okay, my Talmuda Amar Baya Amar Krov Rosh Chodeshim Hukshu Kol Chodeshim Kuhn Zelazeh, they're all equated. Whatever that. Okay, we'll go back to that. So what is the concept of this tkiyas? So we said as follows, that really the tkiyas, you see, the tkiyas are a kiyum in shir, and shir is really shevach. So you see, so the concept of tkiyas is really, the idea of tkiyas is that a person could never complete shvach hashamakom. It's impossible for a person to complete shvach hashamakom. So shir, when you have shir, why do you add the tkiyas? Because basically, when you resort to an instrument, what you're saying is, I really cannot verbalize the shevach. It's impossible to verbalize shvach hashamakom. That is the kiyum. That is the kiyum of the tkiyas. That's really the kiyum. That's the idea of the tkiyas. That's why it works out that way. In every shir, they stopped three times, and in every perek, every time they stopped, there was a tkiya, and every time there was a tkiya, there was a shtachavaya. What was their shtachavaya? The shtachavaya was to demonstrate that the tkiyas are really tkiyas shel shir. It's shvach hashamakom, but basically the statement of the tkiya is that it's impossible for a person to be misaper b'shvach hashamakom, and therefore the resorting to instruments is the concept that man cannot verbalize the shir, and that's really the pasuk of Yom Samchasam Marechem Rosh Chodeshem Uskatam Machatzotzos Alo Lo Sechem Val Zivchei Shalmechem Vayol Lachem Uzikon Lefnei Lekechem. That's the Zikaron. The Zikaron is from the Tkiyas Chatzetres, because the Tkiyas Chatzetres places man in the proper perspective vis-a-vis shvach hashamakom in shir, and that is that he really cannot be misaper b'shvach hashamakom. And the raya, what's the raya for that? The raya for that is that the Sefer Tehillim ends with one parak. What's the last parak in Tehillim? Halu ko, halu kel bekacho, halu bekiuzo, halu gorosav, halu krov gudlo. How do you do that? Halu beseka shofar, halu benevel vechinor, halu besofa mochol, halu beminim veugov, halu betzilzay shoma, halu betzilzay surah, kol and shamat halakol luka. What does the parak mean? It means that it's impossible to be meshabeach. After the end of this, the conclusion of the Sefer Tehillim is that Sefer Tehillim is shvach shamakam shir. But shir is impossible, and that's why you resort to the instruments. Sekel shofar, b'nei v'chino, sefer macho, b'tzilf le'shoma, b'tzilf le'sroa, because it's impossible to be mesapa shvach shamakam. That's the nature of those tchias. That's of Yom Tzum Chaskol Moedech and Rosh Chodesh. Why lechem l'zkan l'fnei l'kechem? So what is the, why do we paskin the other way when the halachic structure would seem to warrant that every time, every carbon is mechayev and shir, and every shir is mechayev and tkiyas, and every tkiyas is mechayev and hashachavah, so every carbon should be mechayev. The answer is the Gemara derives it from Rosh Chodeshechem. What does the Gemara say? My Talmuda. Hukshu kol hachadoshim kulam zelazeh. Okay? What does it mean? It means to say, and then Rav Ashi has another limud, but basically it's the same thing. It comes from the thing, just from a different source. Rav Ashi amar ksiv chodeshechem choser, uksiv uvaroshei, ve'eze chodesh sheyesh lo shnei roshim, heviyom azeh Rosh Hashanah, v'amar achmona chodeshechem, chadhi. So Rosh Hashanah on Rosh Chodesh, so you should have two, but no, it's choser, the teacher's one. Why? Because it would be inappropriate to have a day in which you have more shevach and another day you have less shevach. That would imply that you could be meshabeach HaKadosh Baruch Hu to a greater degree and to a lesser degree. And since we really can't be meshabeach HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so therefore you can't have more shevach one day and less the other day. Hukshu kol hachadashim kulam. So really the halachic structure should have been that every musaf is mechayev in shir and every shir is mechayev in tkiyas. But if you would do that, so then you'd have a problem. The problem would be that you would be implying that on one day Meshabech HaKadosh Baruch Hu more and another day less. The only thing that you can do is over Yom Simcha Aschem Moedechem, so it's Moed, it's Yom Simcha, so then you have a right to be Meshabech because of the Kedushas HaYom. But to have different days, in different days, different amounts of Shevach, That's not permissible. That implication would be a bad one. So that's all the paskin. The paskin that you can only that is dechia. So now you have to have dechia. Which one? One is decha the other because they're both vying for position, and you have to have dechia. So that's something more that speaks about how the dechia is resolved. There's different ways of resolving the dechia. But basically, that's the final conclusion of the Gemara. So you're only mutter to be mosif when it's of a yom simchas chamadechem because it's a kedushas yom. But if you have 2 days, two kedushas achal simultaneously, you can't add. Can't be more and less. Can't be more and less. Okay. I mean, that's what David HaMelech is saying. That the real purpose of all those instruments is one thing. To demonstrate that Shvach HaShomakom can't be verbalized. That's the purpose. That's of Yom Simchaschem of Moadechem is really by a Moed you have a right, because that's the purpose of the Moed, is to give the person the opportunity of Meshabech HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that you justify. Now you have a Matir. Okay? But you have the Moed, that's it. You can't say there's a double Moed, and then when there's a double header, we're going to give more Shevach today. Single, we only give this much. They can't do it. So those are the three types of tkiyas. Okay. Three types of tkiyas. Practical, one from Tashua Pes, some chasa, simcha, and then you have the tkiyas shal mitzvah. Okay. Tkiyas al karbon. Now what I wanted to take up was the simchas beis hashoeva. Okay, simchas beis hashoeva. Now the concept of simchas beis hashoeva, that's getting back to the middle tkiyas, the tkiyas shal simcha. Okay, so here you have machlekes tanayim. Again, a machlekes tanayim. Machlekes Tanoim is, when did they do the tkiyas? So the Chachamim held they did the tkiyas for the first Psichos Sha'arim, which was in the top of the Azara. Then they did it again when they went down the steps. Then they did it again when they went out the front door, the front gate, the front Sha'arim. Okay, that's three times. And then when they came back with the Mayim the fourth time, that was the fourth set of tkiyas. That's where the Chachamim hold. Okay, and our Mishnah Paskins like Rav Lozman Yaakov, namely that everybody agrees what 12 tkiyas, okay, four sets, but they hold that you don't do, there's no set for going down the stairs, but that set instead you do for the tkiyas of the Mizbeach, okay, the tkiyas of the Mizbeach. So that's what it says. So Rashi explains. So Rashi says, so what's wrong with that? It makes sense, because they said going down steps is not really a qualitative phenomenon. You're going down the steps, okay. But the Psichos Sha'arim is really where the tkiyah should be. And therefore they said that instead of doing the tkiyahs for going down the steps, you do the tkiyahs for Mizbeach. Because Mizbeach is also the tkiyah Shel Simcha. Okay. So what's wrong with that? Basically, it's a good argument. I mean, it's a good argument. I mean, the Gemara says that the way the argument works is that it's a question of, we knew there were 12, but where do you go? Do you go to Mizbeach, or do you go for the going down the Milos? Okay. So what is the Shita? Why the Chachamim? Why do the our Mishnah? Our Mishnah is like a Rav Lozman Yaakov. What did he hold? He held that you can't do tkiyas mizbeach. Why? Because kol tkiyas alolu shel shara elyon v'atachna v'shara mayim mishamili amayim ho. Hilkoch la'arava lomali tkiyah. Okay, it means from mizbeach. Yeah, so what kind of an argument is that? What do you mean, kol tkiyas alolu? You can't have other types of tkiyas? Can't have other types of tkiyas? So the answer is, you see, he held that the halacha, apparently what he held is, and that's how our Mishnah holds, is that really in the Migdosh, in the Chag HaSukkos, in the Migdosh, the essence of the tkiyah, the essence of the tkiyahs were tkiyahs shel simchas Migdosh. On the tkiyah shel simcha, you have two possibilities: tkiyah shel simchas Migdosh, and then you have the possibility of tkiyah shel mizbeach. According to the Chachamim, you have two. It's broken up into two. Tkiyah shel mizbeach and then tkiyah shel simcha. But he held it's impossible. Why? Because apparently he held that the tkiyahs, all the tkiyahs should reflect tkiyah shel simcha shel mizbeach. And if you would have tkiyahs from mizbeach, it would take away from the emphasis of the Simchas Migdash. You can't detract from Simchas Migdash is the primary phenomenon in the Moed, the unique phenomenon of Simchas Beis HaShoeva, and you can't detract all the tkiyas must be for tkiyas shel Simchas Migdash. And you can't have any tkiyas. If you would have tkiyas shel mizbeach, it would be taken away from the tkiyas of simcha shel mikdash. That's what he held. That's what Rav Lozman Yaakov held, and that's how our Mishnah paskins. So he held that everything must revolve around simchas beis hashoeva. All the tkiyas. And if you're going to take away three and put them from mizbeach, then take away from the concept of the Shafta Mayim Besasson. Shafta Mayim Besasson demands unlimited expression of simcha. So you can't take tkiyas, all these tkiyas, the yamosef must be exclusively for Migdash. You can't take away three and put them as bechers, then it takes away the whole concept of the emphasis of the simcha on the simcha's basis of the tkiyas of simcha. That's what he holds. Okay. Yeah, so it's interesting. So what is the tkiyas, what are those tkiyas shel simcha? What are those tkiyas shel simcha? So those tkiyas simcha are done in the process of the she'ivas hamayim. It's interesting. It's not in the not, it's not done, the Tzkir Shel Simcha, not done by Nisach HaMayim. It's done according to what Tzkir is for Nisach HaMayim. Interesting thing? There's no Tzkir for Nisach HaMayim. Let's take Rashi. I'll see you around later. So according to Rashi, there never was Tzkir. One would think that Simcha's Beis HaShoeva, where should the Tzkir be? Nisach HaMayim. No Tzkir for Nisach HaMayim. Why not? Why not? There's a reason for it. The reason is that the concept of Simchas Beis HaShoeva is a unique idea. What's the concept of Simchas Beis HaShoeva? The concept of Simchas Beis HaShoeva is really that the person is someach, like the Rambam says in the end of Hilchas Lulav. In the end of Hilchas Lulav, so the Rambam says in the last halacha of Chazal, "Vasimcha sheyismach ha'adam basiyas hamitzvah or ba'avas hakel sheziva b'hen avoda gedola hi." All right, this is a big avoda. "V'chol amonei atzmo v'simcha zu roili par mimeno shenema tach shelo avadat Hashem lekecha b'simcha v'tuv leivav." The person that does not experience the simcha, so it's not just he's missing a mitzvah, but he's involved in a serious onish. Royally parmenu shenema tachas hashelo avadu hashem lekecha b'simcha v'tuv leivav, and that is the in the klolus, and Ram says v'chol amegis daito v'chole kovod la'atzmo mischabed be'eno of b'mkomos elu. A person that seeks to that seeks after self respect in these areas, chote v'shota. Okay, v'alzeh is a shlomo v'amar al tishadeh lifnei melach. V'chol ha-mashpil atzmo, u'mekal gufo b'mkomos elu. Person that degrades himself in these areas, hu ha-gadol ha-mechubad ha-oved me'ava. That is really the person that is the truly respected individual. V'chein David melach Yisrael omar, u'nekalosi od mizos v'yisi shofo b'enoi. V'eina gedul of our kavod elu l'smoach lifnei Hashem. Shenema. V'amelach David mefazeis u'machar kelefnei Hashem. That's the Rambam's conclusion of Hilchas Sukkah. So what does it mean? What does it mean? So it means the Rambam really is explaining Simchas Beis HaShoeva. Why were the tkiyas bedafke by the she'iva and not by the nisuch? Because nisuch, everybody wants to do nisuch. Nisuch is an avoda. It's part of the Mikdash. But she'iva samayim to go and to carry the water, to do the degrading work. And she'iva samayim is the most degrading work, because the givonim, and not only the givonim, but whenever you take over another nation, so what do? You make them shovei mayim v'chot ve'etzim. That's the lowest thing. Shovei mayim and chot ve'etzim is the lowest thing. So therefore, the tkiyas shel simcha are precisely not when you do nisach hamayim. When you do nisach hamayim, al gavim zbeach. Of course, everybody, that's avoda. But the real avoda, the philosophical avoda, is where the person is happy to do the shiva samayim, to degrade himself, to do the lowest form of work for the mikdash. That's the real Simcha in the Mikdash. That's the real Simcha in the Mikdash. So that's why the Tkiyas were not for Nisuch. According to Rashi, there's no Tkiyas for Nisuch. Only for Sheiva. Psichas Sharon, and according to the Chachamim, was every step. Psichas Sharon, going down the steps, Psichas Sharon, and then Psichas Sharon again. So the way the Torah Shebal Peh, the way the Torah Shebal Peh formulates the Tkiyas, it's not in Torah Shebal Peh, Torah Shebal Peh formulates the Tkiyas, is that they are precisely in the area that a person is most removed mentally from in terms of feeling a sense of self-respect. It's in the very act of Sheiva, in degrading oneself. So and this kiyum is basically a kiyum of what? This is the highest. The Rambam says this is the highest level of the kiyum of simcha. That's really the simchas hamigdash. That's really the simchas hamigdash. The highest level of the kiyum of simcha. So the highest level of the Kiyam of Simcha, can only be where the person is involved in a maisa, which is self degrading. Yeah, it's an interesting thing. Why is that? What does it mean, basically? What does it mean? It's interesting because, you see, the pasuk of Shafta Mayim Besasom, in Mayne Yeshua, is really, what does it mean? What does Shafta Mayim Besasom, in Mayne Yeshua? What is the Mayne Yeshua, and what's the Shafta Mayim Besasom? What does the pasuk of Shayel mean? So we'll take a look at Rashi. So Rashi explains, Shafta Mayim Besasom. He says like this. Usha'afta mayim besasun rashes usakablun ufan chados. That you should mekabel a new learning. Okay, mimayne hayeshua ki yarchiv libam. Speaking about la'osid lavo ki yarchiv. God will be marchiv libam al yidei Yeshua habalohem. He says, through the Yeshua, God will expand their hearts. Over here it means their knowledge. Over here, Lev means das. Ayadei Yeshua Bolem. V'yizgalu lohem rozei haTorah. And at that time, it will be revealed to them the secrets of the Torah. Sheneshtakhu b'bovel oleidei tzaras. I want to shtakach and the gullus through the tzaras that the Jews lived through. So shaftem u'shaftem mayim besasson imayne Yeshua really means, the real shaftem mayim besasson is the sasson that a person will experience when he understands the secrets of the Torah, the true ideas, the rozei haTorah that were neshtakach because of the gullus. That's basically that's really the shaftem mayim besasson. So the shaftem mayim besasson, the simcha. The ultimate simcha is only through chachma, and that's why the shiva samayim, the simchas beis hashoeva, the shiva samayim, is all in Torah Shebaal Peh, because that simcha is only possible through Torah Shebaal Peh. Could not be possible. Torah Shebachsav. That's what the Rambam says. Yesh lo remozim in Torah Shebachsav. Remez for it, but the essence of it has to be Torah Shebaal Peh. Because the only way that a person can reach the Rozei haTorah is through Torah Shebaal Peh. And that's why that's why the concept of the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, the Shiva Samayim, Shaftamayim, based on the Pasuk Shaftamayim Besasson, reflects the ultimate Simcha that a person can experience only when he has knowledge of Torah Shebaal Peh. It's an interesting thing. So what is the combination? How do you combine these two ideas? The one idea, Yishayoi, Shaftamayim Besasson, which is Pshuto Shel Mikra. I mean, Rashi is not saying a far-fetched pshat, because it's obvious. Shafta Mayim Besasson, Mayim Yeshua, what is it? It's obviously a marshal. I mean, you have to be a big chacham to realize there's no special well. It's called Mayim Yeshua. But Shafta Mayim Besasson, Mayim Yeshua is a metaphor. So the metaphor is for the simcha of chachma. What kind of chachma? The chachma of understanding the secrets of Torah. The Rozei haTorah, Sheneshtakhlu. How do you combine that idea with the idea of the She'iva Samayim? In other words, that the Simcha of the Tkiyas was based upon the She'iva Samayim, degrading oneself. I think that that it's not difficult to see the transition. What it means is that a person. Is usually concerned about his social standing, how he stands, his self-respect in the eyes of the people, in the eyes of the masses. That's the most powerful emotion of man. So what the pasuk says, the most powerful emotion of man is to gain acceptance, adherence among people. That's the most powerful emotion. So over here, what Yehuda says is just the contrary. That the way that over here Shaftem Mayim Besasson, the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, is that when does a person really reach the heights of perfection and Simcha is where the person degrades himself. That's what the Rambam says. where he degrades himself in front of the eyes of the people. In other words, where he does something that the people frown on him and look down at him. And it doesn't bother him, because even though he loses the respect of the masses, but he knows that in reality he's doing something that is truly deserving of respect. That's Dor HaMelech. Dor HaMelech is in the Kalosi Od Mizos, because that's what Michal Bashar said, because she came from, so she said, how Man Nechbar Hayom Melech Yisrael. He was degrading, because they saw his body and his coat. It wasn't for Melech. This is not a Melech. He lost his status as a Melech. So, in the eyes of the people, it was a degrading thing. He said, on the contrary, in the Kalosi Od Mizos, where you see shuffle bane on it. So what Yehadis teaches a person in Simchas Beis HaShoeva is that how could a person arrive at Rosei HaTorah? The only way a person can arrive at Rosei HaTorah is if a person can overcome his desire and his need for acceptance among people. And if he can forego that and tolerate abuse in order to be engaged in an activity which is really shvachah shel makom, if he could do that, then he will be that only such an individual could be zocha to shafta mayim besasa maneishin, which means to say that the secrets of the Torah can be revealed to him. And he can enjoy the true simcha of the Chochmas HaTorah. That's the tie. That's really the essence of Simchas Beis HaShoeva. That's the essence of Simchas Beis HaShoeva. That's what Ram says. A person who's Moneatzmo because he's afraid of his status, as Moneatzmo, is not just with regard to doing a dance. It really means with regard to the difficulties is not in the technical performance of a mitzvah. Difficulty is in life. It means that in life, if a person is guided by what the Hamon Am think of him, and that's what guides him, then he's a chote and a shote. And this person cannot be zocha to the true simcha, which is the simcha that the person has when he understands and sees the Rosei HaTorah, the secrets of the Torah. Shaftamayim besasam imayim yeshua. Basically, that's the message of the Chag HaSukkos. As the Rambam says, Chag HaSukkos is simcha gedola b'migdash. And that's really, but the Rambam, it's an interesting thing. Over here, the Rambam doesn't mention the Shaftamayim besasam. Why? Because basically what the Rambam is saying is like the Rambam says in the that the technical halacha of Shiva Samayim and Tkiyas, that belongs in Hilchas HaKabonis, you say. But over here, what the Rambam is explaining is the philosophy of Yehadis. That's what the Rambam says. Afal pisha kol amodos mitzvah l'smach b'hem. The Chag HaSukkos hayav mikdash, hayav mikdash. Yom Simcha Yisera Shenema Smachtem Lefnei Hashem Lekechem Shivas Yomim. So the pasuk, really, the Rambam is showing you that the technical halacha that we learn from Torah Shebaal Peh really finds its source ultimately in the pasuk in the Torah Smachtem Lefnei Hashem Lekechem Shivas Yomim. That's what the Rambam is saying. And what is it? It's not just because that's what I said in the beginning, that over here you're dealing with a technical halacha, but the technical halacha is really transformed. I mean, it's transparent that this technical structure is really an expression of a philosophical idea of a smachtum lefnei Hashem lekechem shivas yomim. It's not just Chag HaSukkos, really. That's the whole concept of Mikdash. That's really the whole concept of Mikdash. That's why Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov held you can't have Tkiyas Shel Mizbeach over here, because this idea is the most powerful idea in Yehadis, and this idea is the idea that leads a person in the Derech Hashem, that leads him to Rosei HaTorah, Shaftamayim Masasam. You can't detract from this idea. You can't have tkiyas shel mizbeach in such a place. That's what Rashi says. That kol tkiyas alolu shel shara elim atachta v'shara mayim mishum milia mayim ho. Hilkach l'rov alom litkiya. A kol ani tkiyas l'mosifim b'chag einon elo mishum u'shafta mayim asasim. It means to say that this idea is such a powerful idea that you cannot dilute it by it. You can't share these tekiyas, cannot be shared, these tolskiyas, you can't share these tekiyas with anything else. Even with Mizbeach, even with the idea of Mizbeach Kapara, which is a central idea in Yahadis, that Odo Mimakom Kaparasa Nivra, and it's a continuation from Yom Kippurim, but nevertheless, the idea Shaftamayim Basasan is so powerful that it would be inappropriate to share the Tzkiyas Shel Simcha from Shaftamayim Basasan with Kaparas Mizbeach. That's basically where it was with Yaakov. Because Kapara is important. See, Kapara is important for a person. Person is a chote, he has to have kapara, and he has to have a relationship. The relationship with Kol Yisrael has to continue, that's true. But what is the whole essence? That's a source, that's simply so mera. But the ultimate kiyum, as I say, tov, is the positive activity of the human being where he's engaged in uncovering the chachmas haTorah, rozei haTorah. That's based upon the ability of a person to degrade himself and to forfeit the acceptance of people in order to be engaged in the world of the true ideas. And that you can't share those tekiyas, you can't share with anything else, even with Mizbeach. The other shita, that's a shita of a chacham, basically. That's a shita of a chacham. But we happen to paskin that it's not a tarta desasri. And it's not a tarta desasri. We hold that both ideas really merge. Sur Meira, that's the idea of Kapara, and Adam Imakum Kaparasa Nivra, and then the Asay Tov, they merge, and we hold that as long as most of the Tkiyas, nine of the Tkiyas emphasize the concept of a Shafta Mayim B'Sason and the Simcha Shel Mitzvah, and the Simcha of Rozei HaTorah, and Teresh Baal Peh, and the ability of a person not to care about what other people think about them, as long as that's emphasized, is nothing wrong with having the Tkiyas Shel Mizbeach join in. Because basically, the Tkiyas Shel Mizbeach, Adam Yimakom Kaparasa Nivra, is part of the process of Sur Meira V'Asei Tov, so it's not really a tata desasri. That's how we paskin. Basically, that's machlekes. Yes. The point is a shita sam musar. That's the difference between the shita sam musar and the shita sam philosophy. The shita sam musar is saying that you should condition your emotions. And now it doesn't bother you if you do crazy things in front of people. So you'll condition yourself to the point where it doesn't bother you what people think. So therefore you'll be able to do the proper thing. Yeah. But the real idea of what the Rambam is talking about is that the person's soul should recognize reality and understand that real kavod and real abuse for the soul is when the soul is engaged in something which is good or something which is evil. That's, you understand, that's the real abuse. And the psychological abuse is only something which is an illusion. So it really is it's an understanding. And it's based upon an understanding of reality. It's based upon a certain internal reality system of the soul, where the soul's reality revolves around what is real and true, and not what is emotionally affects a person. So if the person reaches that level of reality, then he shouldn't need the conditioning. You understand what I'm saying? Shouldn't need the conditioning. Unless, like the Rambam says, a person has some kind of a disease where the person, Rambam says, a person has some kind of disease, so then he has to go to the other side. It means the Rambam would not say a person should never do such a thing. It could be that a person has a problem over there, has to work on that problem. That's why those who were against the Shita of Musar, that's what they meant when they argued. They said that it's Musar's for kranka. I mean, Musar's for people that are sick. Why not sick? So the Baal must say, no, you are sick. I mean, question, okay. So, that's what it is. I mean, in other words, what they're saying is that, in other words, if a person is healthy, like the Rambam says, he's in a healthy state, so then obviously he doesn't need to do that. Because it means to say that once he recognizes the true reality, he's guided by the true ideas, so this simply shouldn't bother him. I mean, there should be a realization that this is not important. This just seems, it's an illusion that this kavod is something. But in reality, it's nothing. Reality is only one kavod, and that's the kavod that a person receives when he's in God's eyes doing the right thing. That's the real kavod. Okay, so it means that the person is in the true world of reality. So he doesn't need. That's really the purpose of it. It's not the purpose. In other words, the purpose is not to degrade oneself. The purpose is to realize that's not real. That's just an illusion. It may feel good, but it's not real. It's like the Rambam says. It's layatzel v'layola. It really doesn't do anything, except the emotions are very attracted to it. So the person has to recognize that that's an illusion, and the true kavod is really the kavod of the soul receives by living properly. That's the true kavod. Okay, recognizing God. So that's the perfection. The perfection is an internal one where the soul is turned towards reality. If the soul is turned towards reality, you don't have to have any kind of practices like that. And unless you're telling me that a person has some kind of a problem, like the Rambam says, sometimes a person has an emotional problem, so he has to go to the opposite side in order to correct the problem. Okay? So that's basically where one would say that such a practice would be appropriate. The Rambam would say in such a case where a person has a problem with that kind of a thing, where it's not rational anymore, it's just something which is... He's overpowered by an emotion. He has a problem with a certain emotion. He's not within the realm of... He can't control that because he's not within the realm of the normal personality. Okay, so then the Rambam says that certain things you have to do, like certain medications. You can say, like, medications for the soul. So then you'd have to undergo such a process. But that's extraneous to the idea. Because... if a person would undergo such a process and would correct the soul, then he's back, he should be back in the normal realm where his mind can guide him to what's real and what's not real. And he can live accordingly. And that's really what the realm is saying. Okay? No, he doesn't feel. On the contrary, that's what David Melech says. The kalosi od mizos, v'yisi shofa b'inai. And he says, he's on the contrary. They didn't experience any displeasure. He was very happy to do it. I mean, that's simcha can't be. You can't be a sameach and be upset. Simcha means that the person really feels simcha. Absolutely doesn't care. That you're talking about kavod hamakom and kavod from people, this just doesn't exist. The kavod from people is non-existent. That's mecharker umefazes becholos. It means all his energies were in that simcha. Didn't even bother and think about it. It's nothing. Zero. That's the definition of simcha. It's not the person has a problem, he's doing it, he's forcing himself. I mean, okay, so then he's not b'chol onesh. That's what the Rambam says. He says, b'chol hamonei atzmo. B'chol hamonei atzmo v'simcha zu roi li par b'menu. Sh'nema, atas r'alad ha'shem ha'kev ha'simcha tu leva.
But so if you're moneya, then the person is chayav an onesh. But the ultimate form of the mitzvah is really where the person is engaged in simcha, where nothing else matters. Nothing else matters. Yeah. In other words, the point in the Rambam is that if a person is on one side, so he should go to the other side to break the midah. And then he should be able to remove the obsessional quality from the midah. Because the idea is that when a person becomes obsessed with something, so they start thinking that they can't live without this. That's part of the obsession, is they feel that they can't live without this. They must have this. It becomes like an obsessive kind of quality. So therefore, if you go to the opposite side, so then you see that you do very well without it. So the person, but it's a normal person, that's being pathological. But so the person sees that they can't exist without it. A person that's shut off and that has a certain taiva, so they should go the opposite side. A person with a taiva for fancy cars, so they should drive a jalopy. So drive a jalopy, so they'll see that you don't need this thing altogether. So it was purely an obsession. So that's the idea of going to the opposite. That's the Rambam. The Rambam's tikkun ha-nefesh is that in a normal individual, many times, somehow or other, the person becomes attached to something and thinks that they have to have it. So you go to the opposite side, so you live very well without it. So you live very well without it, so then you remove the obsessive quality from it. That's the Rambam's therapy. In terms of breaking a midah, that's the going to the opposite side. That's why he says go to the opposite side and come back to the middle. The purpose is not to be in extremes. The purpose is that the emotion should be under the world of the chachma, under the world of the rational. And sometimes you're caught. You go to the opposite side. You break the midah. You show yourself that you don't really need it. You think you need it. You actually live very well without it. So once the person comes to that realization, it breaks his obsessive attachment to the thing. That's the Rambam's. That's the Rambam's method of tikkun nefesh. Yeah. Good question. I mean, we see that Chazal were really concerned about how the Talmud Chacham appears to the Haman, and they were saying you should forget about everything. Don't worry about how you appear to the Haman, right? Okay. Now the answer is that the whole purpose of the Talmud Chacham's appeal for the Haman is only for one reason. I mean, it's only in order that the Haman should see what the true ideas of Torah are. So therefore, in a place where he should be expressing simcha, if he refuses to degrade himself, so then he's teaching the Haman a wrong concept, a wrong idea. So therefore, the whole purpose of his appeal to the Haman is really so the Haman should learn from him. So when it comes to doing the right thing, if he's going to consider, he's going to compromise what's right in order to gain favor in the eyes of the Haman, then the whole thing's worthless. It's all butlum of butl. The only reason that the Talmud Chacham must be concerned about the Haman is so the Haman should use him as a model, okay. But if the model becomes corrupt, I mean, then what's the whole purpose of it? Then it's Kavaratzmo Darish. Kavaratzmo Darish, all things worthless. Okay, so therefore, a person is never permitted to compromise anything in Yahadus, whether it's Derech HaChayim, or whether it's philosophy, or whether it's Halacha, whatever it is, you're never permitted to compromise in order to appeal to the Haman. I mean, you can't be political in Torah. Political and terrorist tata de sasri. That's basically what he's saying over here. But so you say on the contrary, you get big of a political argument. No, it's Melech Yisrael, so therefore he's a Dovid HaMelech, and therefore he has to maintain a certain dignity, certain personal dignity, in order to be able to accomplish. But the answer is that when it's covered a makom, to maintain personal dignity is the biggest gaiva, and that concept is abhorrent. So therefore, if he would engage in such a thing, then the whole thing's worthless. Then the whole Kavod Malchus has no value. The whole purpose of Kavod Malchus is to get people to perceive Kavod Malchus, for the Bar Elam. But if it becomes an instrument of if it becomes an instrument of his own covet, then that's the whole thing's bubble bubble. You don't need the whole thing. What are we there for? Okay. So that's why you can't compromise when it comes to Yadis. There cannot be any political considerations. I mean, that's or compromise when it comes to. It's an interesting thing. It's not just when it comes to breaking a halacha. I mean, over here, it means, okay, so he wouldn't dance so much. So what if he danced in a nicer way, and his jacket didn't fly up, and he didn't degrade himself as a melech? So he could have done that. I mean, it wouldn't be an issur, it's an issur b'davar. I mean, where's the Sein HaTorah and the Chiyuv to go out dancing wild? No, but the answer is because this was appropriate. It was the degree of how of expression of mephazes and mechaker is what is warranted. Okay, it's what's warranted over here is that the person should be lost with regard to the self, and therefore, if he compromises that, so he's compromising Kavod Hashem, and any compromise of Kavod Hashem, no matter how minuscule, is absolutely a distortion of Yadis, and Yadis doesn't tell it right in the compromise. Interesting thing. So what does he have to do like that? I mean, that's basically what Michal Bashar's argument was. Okay, so you have to dance in front of the Aaron's, very nice. But there's a way to dance. A melech should dance in a certain manner, maintain his self-dignity. He said, no, on the contrary. That would be a compromise, because then I would be doing something which is really connected the idea of Kavod Hashchina. Kavod Hashchina demands that the self is lost. The importance of the self and the significance of the self and the dignity of the self is no concern whatsoever. And if he would compromise, so then it would be then the whole purpose of the Kavod HaMelech and the Kavod HaTalmid Chacham is no purpose for it. And it's Kavod Atzmo HaDarash. Okay. Yeah, good question. Now, why is Sukkos the Chag for the Simchas Beis HaShoeva? Now, the answer is this. The answer is basically because, you see, both things in Torah Shabbat Peh really start from Yom Kippur. As Yom Kippur has two lines from Yom Kippur. One is, like we said last week, you don't walk away from Yom Kippur and say you have a kapara, slicha mechila kapara, and now that's it. No. You have to. That's true, but you have to recognize the importance of mizbeach, the concept of mizbeach, the significance of the Chesed Hashem that He gave us mizbeach, and that's the ongoing idea. Your own chataim and your own onshim, fine. You know, a person has a right to be concerned. Shmatam al nafshasechem, but that's not really where it's supposed to end. So therefore, mizbeach is a continuation from Yom Kippur. And the Simchas Beis HaShoeva as well as a continuation of Yom Kippurim. Because Yom Kippurim is really where the person is involved in seeking out the evil in his nature and removing it. Okay? Yeah, but that's just the beginning. Basically, the purpose of that is to take those energies and to channel them for the ultimate objective, which is Simcha, Tachse, Shabbat, Simcha, Tuv Levav, to be Oved Me'avah, but Simcha, Tuv Levav. That's really the objective. Shafta Mayim B'Sasam. So therefore, Yom HaKippurim is really Machayev in the concept, in those two. One is the appreciation of Mizbeach and understanding Mizbeach and Kapara. And the second thing is to take the emotions and to channel them into the ultimate, their ultimate purpose. And the energies must be invested. Ultimately, this is what the whole objective of man is, to invest the energies into the simcha of avodah lokel. Simcha of avodah lokel. Now, what is the ultimate form of the simcha of avodah lokel? The ultimate form is shaftamai mesasam, and mayane yeshua is the uncovering of the rosei Torah, the ideas of the secrets of the Torah. That's really the ultimate level of simcha. So both starts in Yom Kippur. That's why, why does the Rambam say, even though in all the Moedim is Simcha B'Migdash? Because what the Rambam is saying is that that's really Simcha B'Migdash. That's the whole Simcha B'Migdash. Simchas and Migdash is Simcha of Avod and Lakel. And what is Avod and Lakel? Avod and Lakel involves technical halacha in the Migdash, but ultimately it involves the soul, the soul's involvement in Teresh HaBalpeh and in Chachmas Hashem and the Shatamayim Asas. Okay, what he was demonstrating is the Simcha of dancing before the Aron. It means that the person can only reach perfection where the self is lost. Where the self is lost. That's basically what he's saying.
He did it
because that's the right thing to do. No, there's no question that there's a connection by Netilas Lulav. Because the Netilas Lulav is also Shvach HaShemachon. Because there's Oz Yiranu Atzeyar. Oz Yiranu Ba'atzeyar. So, I mean, that's also, what is it, that's also, so you see that Netilas Lulav is a Kiyum of Shevach. There's a Kiyum of Shevach and Netilas Lulav. So why is there a Kiyum of Shevach and Netilas Lulav? That's exactly, it's really basically the same idea we mentioned before with Tkiyas Shreifa. That it means that the Smach Mufnei Hashem Lekechem, that Shvach Hashem Makom Al Yedei Maisa, I mean Al Yedei Lulav, which emphasizes the idea that Oz Yiranu Batzeyar means the whole universe is Mesaper and Shvach Hashem Makom. We say Yaluchat Hashem Lekeinu Kol Masecha Yaduchat Hashem Yaduchat Hashem Kol Masecha. So that's the idea of Oz Yiranu Batzeyar. Means everything is Shvach Hashem Makom. The Batzeyar, the creation, every aspect of the creation. So that's Shvach Hashem Makom. That's Shvach Hashem Makom. Finish off with a small Maimar Chazal that we didn't have a surface. I think it's an important one. The Gemara says in there, the famous Gemara, if you go on base, Gemara says like this. Tana Rabbanan, Shtei Shana V'machza Nechleku Be'Shama Yubesel. 2.5 years out of Machlegis. Halalu Amrim Noach L'Olavim Shalom Nivra. Some say this better person wasn't born. Yosef Mishanivra. Halalu Amrim Noach L'Olavim Shalom Nivra. Yosef Mishalom Nivra. Nimnu V'Gamru. So after 2.5 years of arguing, they finally came to a conclusion. Noach lo adam shelo nivra yosem mishenivra. Be better for a person if he weren't born. Achshav shenivra yefash reish b'maisav. V'amri lo. Yeah. Achshav shenivra yefash reish b'maisav. V'amri lo yemash reish b'maisav. Okay. All right. So Yefashish Maisav means Shosak Varvi Yivdok Aversha Byodovis Vadavi Yoshav. Yimash Mesh Maisav Gunam Bom Mitzvah Yodo Ye Yachshov Hefsid Mitzvah Kenegat Shora Velo Yoniach La Soso Bishvila Hefsid Chere Shora Osid Lovo. Then Bos Lyodo Vera Yechashev Sakharo Shemistakar Bo Achshov Kenegat Hefseda Ho Osid Lifarim Better. Okay, so basically the question is, I mean, what was the machlekes? And the question is, what's the conclusion? And what's the conclusion? The conclusion is ahashta shenivra is yifash resh masav. So, and if you didn't have this machlekes, or yimash mesh, let's say yimash mesh masav. Okay, yifash masav means she'osek va yiv de gaver shabir vizvad of yosher. Okay, so it means to say that he should do tshuva. Okay, let's take a second one. Yimash mesh masav. Gonna bala mitzvah liyado, so he should figure out Yachshov Hefsid Mitzvah Keneged Schara. Okay, and he should weigh both sides, okay, and see what the benefit, which way is more beneficial. That means to say that he should understand what the gains and the losses are, and should make a proper decision. Okay, and then Bos Liyado Avera Yachshav Schar Shem Estaka Ba'achshav Can I get a say to us to be far in men? Okay, so he should basically consider Chayei Olam Haba against Chayei Olam Hazeh. Okay, I mean, what kind of a conclusion is that? What is more, and if not, I mean, this is what's Machayev you to do it. I mean, everybody knows that he should be Chos B'tshuva, and everybody knows that he should always be Fashir Maisov. So what kind of a conclusion is that? I mean, the question is no, nivra. I mean, that's the question. And the conclusion is yifashish masav. I mean, what does that have to do with it? And if you wouldn't have this machlekes, so you say you shouldn't be chaz b'tshuva. I mean, of course you be chaz b'tshuva. You're a person chaz b'tshuva because of chayei olam haba. What's the question? Yeah. Yeah, it seems to be that, I mean, and if you wouldn't have this machlekes, so then you wouldn't have to live properly. I mean, what is What is the Gemara saying, basically? So unless one says like this, that what the Gemara is saying is, like what Chazal is saying is as follows. What's the Machlekes? The Machlekes is like this. The Machlekes, of course everybody knows that the Hilchas Tshuva, I mean, that's not in question over here, okay? What the Gemara is saying is, the question, the Machlekes that they had is, whether or not a person, let's say a person has an optimum situation, he's fortunate in life and he doesn't have any real significant tragedies. So the question is, can you say when you weigh the person's life at the end of his life, did he have more pleasure, psychological pleasure, or did he have more psychological pain? See, that's the question. The question of Noach Lomashal Nivra. First of all, how could they ask whether it's Noach Lomashal Nivra or Noach Lomashal Nivra? I mean, God decided, apparently, Noach Lomashal Nivra. So that's the end of the question. Now, philosophy is very nice, but you have to work with the facts. You have to work with the facts. Facts is that God decided the person that Vayikra Shema Marmiyah Nasa Adam. Okay? So that's the end of it. But no. But what it means like this. There's no question that no matter how much psychological pain a person endures, that ultimately it's worth it if the person has perfection. Yeah, there's no question about that. You see, I mean, in other words, you say, because God created man for the tzelem elokim that he has, which means to say that, look, whether he had pleasure yesterday or not, now it doesn't matter. But what matters now is how much chachma the person, the soul, has acquired. Okay? And eventually, when the person dies, so it really makes no difference in retrospect whether he had pleasure or not, or even pain. What was the difference? The only difference that abides at that time is the question of the soul, the state of the soul. So there's nothing to argue about. That's why you can't ask a question on God's will to create Adam, because it's infinitely worth it. But the question that they were discussing was simply another question. The question is that insofar as human psychological happiness is concerned, is human life worthwhile or not? Assuming that a person has an optimum situation. Is there such a thing as really a good life? What we call a good life in terms of the end of the person's life, the way of seeing, was it psychologically, would you say he had more happiness, more pleasure, or more pain? So that's a difficult question. So there you had a machlekes for 2.5 years to determine whether or not his life is worthwhile, given the fact that, let's say, a person has a good situation, okay? So basically, Aristotle concluded that it was worth it. As Aristotle says, that life is enjoyable. Now, as a person lives like a chacham, so life is enjoyable, and you could say that he had a good life. It was worthwhile. But Chazal, one position was like Aristotle, the other position argued. In final analysis, they concluded against Aristotle. That basically, no matter how you work it, the end is going to be that the pain, the psychological pain is going to exceed the psychological pleasure, because that's the nature of the psychological. But what they said was, what they said was that the mishinivra, that if the person lives according to chachma, and insofar as the person lives according to chachma, and living according to chachma ultimately means removing himself from concerns about this existence and being involved in more important matters like Talmud Torah and perfection. I mean, that's what it means. It means the person should live a life of perfection. Insofar as the person partakes of perfection, you see, what remains will always be of a better balance. You follow what I'm saying? In other words, like this. Because, you see, what is it? They're not weighing, for instance, I mean, could you weigh the simcha that the homely guy had when he turned the blood of Gemara and was Mechadish And with Mechadish Chedushim, I mean, you're talking about Tanayim and Tanayim over here. I mean, the Simcha of the person, ain't Simcha of the Kataris of Svegas, Ramban. So the Simcha of learning is unbelievable. So what are they talking about? What do you mean, Chol Mishloim Nevar? How could you say such a thing? But the answer is they're not talking about the Simcha of Torah and perfection. That's what I'm saying. That what they were talking about was the residual, the simcha that a person has, ordinary psychological happiness, what people call the common idea of happiness. In other words, the psychological. That's what the argument was. So what the answer was is that basically, no matter how you work it out, it'll always come out, it's not worth it. You eat it up, it's always going to be more pain than pleasure. But it means if the person, insofar as the person lives a rational existence, and the more he devotes his energies towards perfection, then whatever remains will be more favorable in balance. So you'll never reach the point where it really is worth it for that aspect of life, but it'll always be better insofar as you go away from it. In other words, insofar as you go away from trying to achieve the psychological, and so far as you're concerned about, like Rashi said, asid lavo, I mean the true existence, and so far as you're engaged in that, then whatever remains will be better. You follow what I mean? That was basically the conclusion. That's what Chazal was saying. You understand what I'm saying? In other words, What the argument was psychological, insofar as the person exists psychologically, is a psychological being. Okay? That means Ram devotes the first parts of the Yad to the psychological. And he talks about certain aspects that are purely psychological. And he talks about the Chacham and the Chassid. Different, okay? What Chazal were discussing was the psychological. And what they said was that the psychological was of such a nature that the more the person goes away from the from his desire for psychological pleasures and enjoyments, okay, the more he's away from that, and the more he's involved in the true world in terms of psychological pleasure. That's the conclusion.
Yeah, right.
You understand what I'm saying? You understand what I'm saying? That was the machlokes. Because the machlokes wasn't... You can't say the machlokes was... No, what do you mean? Lived all his life was Eishkin Torah, and every minute he's enjoying Chachma, you say it's not worth it? What kind of an argument is that? What do you mean? It doesn't make any sense. But that's what I'm saying. What the argument was about was psychological, the ordinary psychological pleasure. Could you say that it's worthwhile for a person to have an existence? This life has pleasures, has pains, there's a balance there. What about that balance? They were theorizing about whether it's worth it or not. You see, not in terms of whether life is worth it or not. That's Nasa Adam, Eikor Shema Adam Miyami Baram, because Baruch Hu created man. That's the right thing. There's no question about it. And the simcha that a person gets out of Chachma and out of Torah and out of Siyas and Mitzvahs properly, that kind of a simcha, like the Rambam says, that's the greatest simcha. So how could it be bad? It's not. It's impossible. So, but the answer is they're not speaking about that. They were speaking simply about the psychological. That was the theoretical argument. And therefore, they concluded, that was the conclusion. The conclusion was that it's never going to be worth it, because it's always intrinsically, we don't know, I mean, obviously there were theoretical arguments that went on for a long time trying to evaluate. How do you evaluate this thing? But the conclusion was that intrinsically, apparently, it's not going to ever be in favor of pleasure in the long run, in the end. But insofar as the person is not concerned about that, and he's concerned about the soul, the perfection of the soul, insofar as he's away from that, he's concerned about the real existence of the soul, whatever remains of his activities in the world of the psychological will always be better. Will always be better. That's the conclusion. Yeah, Taisha says that. I'm giving a different answer. Okay. The fact that Taisha says that is a corroboration to what I'm saying. Because basically he's saying it's the psychological. Okay, yeah. But I'm saying, basically saying it's the psychological. So it's a corroboration of what I'm saying. But I'm saying that you could even say, the way I'm explaining it, it would be everybody. In other words, what they're saying is that insofar as you're engaged, you're moving away from it, whatever remains will be better.
Okay.
Exactly. Scharalasid lovo is the movement away from here. It means, because a person can be osik in chaye shaw, like Chazal say, or in chaye olam. So insofar as the person is engaged in the chaye olam, right, insofar as the person is engaged in chaye olam, whatever remains of chaye shaw will be better, will always be better. But no matter how good, the chaye shaw still is not, when you add it up, is never going to be worth it, because there's always going to be more pain than pleasure. But the chaye shaw will always be better insofar as the person is moving away from it and is engaged in chaye olam. That's basically what it is. In other words, there are methods of approaching it. There are methods you can implement to gauge it. Doesn't mean that they sat back and just added up, pleasures and pain. There are methods that you could use. When you understand the nature of the psychological, there are methods of analysis that you could use to determine. I mean, to determine whether or not it's more pleasurable or less pleasurable. There are methods of doing that. I'm not going to go into it now, but there are methods of doing it. And obviously, they knew the methods, and that's why they had a discussion. Otherwise, well, there was nothing to discuss. Okay? I mean, at first, it sounds like, hey, how would you do such a thing? You know what I mean? So, in today's society, they try to quantify it with some kind of a study. But Chazal had a different method. Okay? They studied the instincts, and they studied the nature of the instincts. Yeah. And once you understand how it works, there are ways to gauge whether or not you're in the long run, you're gaining, you're losing. Okay? That's what the discussion was for 2.5 years. Yes? Yeah, Chazal studied a lot of things. I mean, you want to know what's the relevance of understanding it? I mean, the relevance of understanding it is understanding Ma'aseh Hashem. That's the relevance. You don't have to do something just for practical relevance. I mean, all knowledge is relevant. I mean, that's the approach, that's the godless of Chazal, is they weren't just concerned about the practical. They argued about something which you'd think, so who cares? What do I care whether it's psychologically more pleasurable or less pleasurable? The answer is, everything is Chachmas Hashem, and the more a person understands Chachmas Hashem, the more perfected he is, and everything has practical relevance. Long run, there's no area that should not be learned, should not be studied, because it's all Chachmas Hashem. And this area as well. Can have very important, very, very, very important results in the knowledge of this particular question. Okay? See, what Shlomo Malka says is, V'shabeach ani es ha-meisim shekvar meisu, me'achayim ha-shehem chayim ha-dena. Okay? So it sounds like it's suicidal. Right? I mean, so why doesn't he say the best thing is to commit suicide? The answer is that is never, such a thought is impossible. Because philosophy is an understanding of life, and life is a given. So it can't be a philosophy of suicide. Philosophy of suicide can't be a philosophy because you're going against life. I mean, the given is that human existence is. So you're saying it should not be? That's virtually impossible. But a person in analysis, a person can be in a state where he wishes that his life had already passed. See, that's, he accepts life, but he wishes it was ready. He would have lived 100 years ago, so he would have been, he'd be happy if he would have lived 100 years ago. You see, because the enduring the pain of existence is something that he has trouble facing. That's an expression of a philosophical point, you see. Philosophical point. But never do you have an idea of, never do you have an idea of taking one's life. I mean, that's not philosophy. It can't be. It has to be wrong. That's the Chazal can't decide whether Shinivra. I mean, that God decided already. There's no room for philosophical. The only thing you can do is to try to understand it. But it can't be right that it's Nechlon Shlonivra if God decided Nivra. Okay.
Complete in the last couple of weeks. So the first one is I want to finish off the Gemara in Ervin. Okay, the Machlekes of Noach L'Ladam Shalom Nivra, Noach L'Ladam Shenivra. Okay, And the second thing I want to finish off is the idea of the kasha we asked by Yashir. Okay, we didn't really answer it fully, okay? And I think it's an important principle. Okay, so let's first go back to that Gemara. Okay, so the Gemara says that they argued for 2.5 years. Nechlekeh b'shem b'silo, halo lomar noch lodem shalo nivro, yosem mishinivro, lomar noch lodem shinivro, yosem mishalo nivro. Okay, and nimnu v'gamra. So this I explained once, that if they're not olal minyan, you can't have a rov. Nimnu v'gamra means they're olal minyan. That's the halacha, nimnu v'gamra. But what was the machlekes? So we said the machlekes cannot mean whether it's better for man to exist or not to exist. I mean, that's a fact that it's better for man to exist. God already determined that. Okay, now saw them at some minute. So that's not a machlekes. That's not a machlekes, because there is no question that it's a noach l'adam shenivra, because the purpose of man's existence is because you can partake of the eternal. So we can never weigh the temporal against the eternal. Okay? So therefore, as much pain and suffering as a person goes through in this life, ultimately it's always worth it if he partakes of the eternal ideas. Okay? So therefore you can't have an argument like that, because I'll never even entertain such a question. Because that would be only a shallow person would have such a question. That the purpose is only the physical part of man, not his mind and his intellect and his chachma, which is his essence. And no matter how much difficulty a person goes through in this existence, but the fact is, if he can partake of ideas which is the essence of his nature, and it's the eternal part of man, so it's worth it. So there's no question. That's not open for debate. Chazal would never debate such an issue. It doesn't make any sense. Okay, but we explained the question that they were analyzing is that if you minus, that wasn't the question. The question was, you minus out the world of the ideas. But they were simply questioning in the world of the psychological, there's pleasure and there's pain, general life. So the question that they were raising is, on a psychological plane, would you say, after a person's life is over, at the end of his life, if you weighed and you measure the psychological pleasures that he has against the psychological pain, which would be in the favor, the scale would weigh in the favor of what? Of which one? Pain or pleasure? So that was an argument. That was an argument they had for 2.5 years. Okay? So I'm not going to go in right now to what the nature of the argument was and how they and what kind of proofs they adduced. I mean, it wasn't a survey, obviously. I mean, it was based on ideas. Well, maybe I'll just mention one or two things later. But let's just leave that for the moment, okay? But that's what they were discussing. So then they concluded that if no matter how good a life a person has, even if he has the most favorable kind of existence possible, nevertheless, at the end, when you weigh it all up, it's always going to be in favor of pain, no matter what. But then it says, "Nimnu v'gamra." They said, "Umisha nivra is umisha achshav shenivra." Nimnu v'gamra nechlo shalom nivra yosim shenivra achshav shenivra yifashresh masav amrlo yimashmesh masav. Okay. So what do they say? They said that no matter what, it's always going to be more painful. The psychological is never going to give him more enjoyment than pain. But now that he exists, the most favorable outcome will be if he is yifashvesh v'masov or if he's yimashmesh v'masov. If he does those two things, then whatever remains of the psychological pleasure or pain will always be in the most favorable balance. Okay? In other words, briefly what they're saying is that insofar as a person... let me get into what's machlekes. Yifashresh masav, yimashresh masav. What does yifashresh masav mean? So Rashi explains, yifashresh masav means b'masav she'ish she'osa kvar v'yivdok averos she'biyodo v'yisvada v'yoshev. Okay? So of course, again, I mean, we use this as a proof that the Chazal weren't questioning. Of course, the person did tshuva, the mitzvah of the rice, and the whole philosophy of tshuva, and the whole understanding of tshuva. That wasn't the question. But what they were saying was that if a person avails himself of tshuva, so then whatever remains of his psychological life will be most favorable. Most favorable. It'll never be better in the long run. Whenever you wait, it's always going to be deficient, but it'll be as best as possible. Okay? So what is the concept of tshuva? I mean, what is the idea of tshuva? What's it got to do with tshuva? I mean, well, tshuva is something that Rambam says, a person's a chote, has to do tshuva. But why are they bringing tshuva over here? But the answer is because the whole philosophy of tshuva, and that's something that that I think that we mentioned many times, the philosophy of tshuva is that tshuva is not simply when a person does a chet, so he does tshuva. But tshuva is part of the process of existence, of life, of human existence, which means that in tshuva, it means a person, since a person is instinctual by nature, he's always going to fail. He must fail. Impossible not to fail. Biggest tzaddik has to fail. But he has one thing. He has the ability, since he has a memory, so he has the ability to remember the events. What a chazas, every day, Talmud Chacham does tshuva, remember the events of the day, to replay them, and to analyze them, and then to study them. That's your fashfesh masa. To study them just like a stranger would study a science. That's the ability of that person. That's your fashfesh masa. Fashfesh masa means that a person has a unique ability, as subjective as he is, but he still has the ability to withdraw from himself if he reaches a certain level, to withdraw from himself into an impersonal state of mind where he just objectively studies the history of events that he has before his mind's eye in his own personal life and analyzes them, and he studies it like a science. So he studies it, he should be able to reach the point where he studies it like a stranger would study somebody else. And then through studying his actions, he has a history, and if he studies and analyzes his actions, so then he could change the course of his future existence. That's the idea of God. That's your fashfesh masa. So if a person has that ability, so then he will have a rational existence. He can have a rational existence. And insofar as he has a rational existence, so whatever psychological, of course, the rational existence is going to lead him into a different world. I mean, into the world of Chachma, into the world of Mitzvahs, into the world of Torah. But by doing that, whatever psychological he partakes of will always be most favorable. That's the first shot, Yifashash Masav. The second shot is Yimashmesh Masav. What is Yimashmesh Masav? Mishmash means to feel. So Yifashash means to examine. Yimashmesh means like a person, like Kasher Yimashesh Yivabathel, means you feel before you do it. It's before you do it. That's Yimashmesh Masav. Fashfesh is afterwards. Yimashmesh means he should send out feelers, so to speak, before he engages in activity. So that's what Rashi says. Rashi is going to bom mitzvah liyado yechsha yechashev hefsid mitzvah keneged sfara lo yanich lasoso b'shvila hefsid sherei schara osid lovo then bos liyado avera yechashev schara shemestaka bo'achshav. He should figure out what the benefit is that he gains now keneged hefsido osid liparimeno. Okay. So that's our king, your emotional baruch hashem, which means that a person has to be in a position, not, in other words, that he keeps yahadus not out of conscience, not out of a certain kind of a religious emotion, okay? But he should keep yahadus based upon chachma. That's what it means. That's what Rashi says. So it means that he should be able to figure out. Kigon, like Rashi says, in Bali Yado Avera, Shechashev Schoro, Shemestaka Ba'achsha. He should figure out what the benefits of the Avera is. The Avera has certain benefits. He should be realistic, examine what those benefits are, and then weigh that against what the losses are. But it means he has to have a knowledge of both. He can't just say it's an Avera, I can't do it. That's it. I mean, that certainly is better than doing the Avera. But that's not the level that Chazal is talking about. Yimashmesh Masav means that he has to have the ability to understand realistically. His mind has to be able to understand exactly what is he gaining in the instinctual, and by partaking of the instinctual, what is the loss in terms of the real world. Okay? So what it means is, that the person must be able to examine life, to understand what he is. Again, I mean, to understand and to know that he has the ability to partake of a whole world that is eternal, the world of ideas, the world of Chochmah. And he has to be able to weigh the loss of partaking of that against the gain of partaking of the temporal. So it means to say that before a person partakes of anything, he has to be able to examine and to weigh and to understand, okay? The difference really between your fashresh v'masav and your mashresh, fashresh v'masav and your mashresh v'masav is basically both the same. I mean, what Socrates says, but I think they said it a little better. Namely, that the unexamined life is not worth living. Okay? But the only thing is, Chazal are much more specific. And they explain it much better. But they explain that the unexamined life really partakes of two things. In order to be able to examine life, you have to have two qualities. I don't think it's a machlekes. I do not believe it's a machlekes. V'amri lo is, it's mar machada, mar machada v'lapligi. Question was which way they express themselves. Because there are two things that a person needs in order to be able to live the correct life. One is the ability to examine life properly, objectively, in terms of establishing the correct value system. Okay, and that's your mashmesh masav. To analyze, what do I gain from the instinctual, and what do I gain from the world of Chachmah, from the world of the eternal? And weigh and understand, the mind must be able to see clearly what the losses and benefits are. Okay, once a person understands that, then he can guide his future existence. That's your mashmesh masav. But your fashresh v'masav means besides that you need something else. Because the instinctual will always catch a person, so always take hold of a person, overpower him, so he has to have the ability to remove himself from the situation, after the situation, and to replay in his mind the events, and to analyze where he went wrong and where he caved into the instinctual forces, and why. Okay, that's your fashresh v'masav. Both are necessary. What Chazal is saying, in order to have an examined life, both are necessary. It's ma'amar chada, ma'amar chada lopli. So basically, what Chazal is saying is that if a person does do that, if a person engages in the rational life, both in terms of the objective value system, and also in terms of examining the personal. And he lives a life of chokhmah so far as it's possible, then what remains of the psychological enjoyment of life, which is not really the purpose of human existence, but whatever remains of the psychological, you see, will always be most favorable. We'll have a much better, much greater enjoyment when you weigh, at the end of his life, when you weigh his psychological pain and pleasure, it'll be closer, better, more on the pleasure side than if he does not live a life of chachma. That's basically what Chazal is saying. Okay? Yeah. The only thing I would add is that in terms of the types of arguments that they adduced, I would simply say, I mean, we can't know, it's just conjecture. But what I would say is it had to be based on an analysis of how the instinctual works. Because somebody asked me, somebody said, what do they care? What are us all interested? Whether a person, in the long run, ultimately, at the end of their life, if the person is going to add up, they had more pleasure or pain. So who cares, really? What was the difference? No, but the answer is because everything that exists and everything that God created, when we examine it, we gain benefit. And even something like psychological pleasure, the examination of psychological pleasure and the understanding of it gives us insight into our nature, you see. So basically what the method of analysis that they used was an analysis of the instinctual, the nature of pleasure. The nature of pleasure. As you know, I mean, philosophers have shown that every pleasure, almost every pleasure, must have tremendous pain, because the pleasure only exists as long as you have the desire. And the desire is always pain, because the desire means you're missing something, so you're always in pain. And the moment you satisfy the desire, then there's no more pleasure. So pleasure is linked very closely to pain, and it would seem on the surface that in order to have pleasure, you always require pain, and perhaps even more pain than the pleasure itself. Okay? And this is the nature, the approach, the type of analysis that a person would use. It wasn't an analysis. I do not believe it was an analysis of taking a survey, because that's a modern techniques. But those techniques are very deficient, because they're very superficial type of analysis. But the analysis of Chazal is an intrinsic kind of analysis. Analysis of studying the thing itself and understanding the nature of the thing, examining it. But apparently the big debate was whether in the world of pleasure and pain it's always going to be more pain, or no, it's possible that the pleasure is greater. As a machlekes. But the end of the machlekes, after 20 years, then the v'gamru that it's true, that the nature of the instinctual world is such that you'll always have more pain than pleasure. Nevertheless, insofar as a person plunges himself into that life, he's increasing tremendously the ratio of pain to pleasure. The more he directly goes into it, the greater the ratio of pain to pleasure. The more he goes away from it, the greater the pleasure is with as opposed to the pain. The ratio is greater on the side of the pleasure. Okay, that's basically the Chazal. Okay, I just wanted to complete that. The reason why I have Nimna v'Gamra. Nimna v'Gamra always, you see what they want to show by Nimna v'Gamra. You're right. Now, Halacha Garina, we explained that Nimna v'Gamra means you can't say Achar Rabin Lahatos unless you have a minion, unless you're Olah L'minion. That's why I have Beisham and Beisil never weren't or didn't want to be Olah L'minion. But why they're doing it over here, it's a good question. Over here is not halacha. So why are they saying nimnu v'gamru? The answer is because they want to show you the extent of the machlekes. That originally the machlekes was so diverse that each school held that they can't be Olah L'minion. They were convinced that they were right. But in the end, they agreed that the side that maintained that the pain is greater was correct. So they use the same terms as they did in the halachic sphere, not because it's a matter of being Olam Minyan to Paskin, but it means that there was a meeting of the minds in the end. Originally, they had two different arguments, and apparently they were so far apart that they wouldn't even be Olam Minyan. Okay.
Yes.
You're right. That's what Neil is saying is correct. There are pleasures that do not have attending pains. For instance, if a person is riding in the car, and suddenly they see beautiful scenery, they never expected it. Suddenly it happens upon them, and they have tremendous enjoyment out of it. That is true. In those kind of instances, there is pleasure without pain, because there was no desire. That's correct. But one must admit that those instances in life are very rare. Because generally speaking, a person is driven. If a person wants to go see beautiful scenery, then they're filled with a desire for that. Filled with a desire that's involved in preparations and expenditures of time and energy and money. And they're filled with desire until they get to the place that they're looking for the pleasure. By the time they get there, they've gone through tremendous pain. But you are right. It is possible in life. And that's why those experiences in life are very rare, and usually you remember them. Because if somebody suddenly comes to your house and gives you a gift and you didn't expect it, you really have to thank the person doubly, not only for the gift, but for not telling in advance, so you don't have any pain. Surprise. Right, right. Yeah, that's correct. That's correct. That's definitely true, and that's why I think that if a person would reflect on their life, they see that those moments were very enjoyable. because precisely because they didn't have to anticipate and be involved in the world of desire before they got the pleasure.
The old desire, that's cool. Love.
That's another. That's definitely another point. That one philosopher mentions that after you have pleasure, he says, after you have pleasure, you're either in depression because the pleasure's over, or else, he says, you're immediately filled with desire. So there's one philosopher argue, which seems to be correct, that so that after the pleasure, you pay the price because you had a pleasurable few moments, and then suddenly you're back to the drab existence. So then you're in the world of pain. So either it's depressing, or else you fill yourself immediately with another desire in order to move on, in which case you're in a different kind of pain. So I mean, those are the kind, there's no question about it, that those are the kind of arguments. I mean, we weren't there. It'd be nice to see how they argue these points out for years, you know what I mean? But apparently they had methods of, they finally arrived at some methods which were... which they were able to ascertain definitely that it's going to be always going to be more more pain. Who enjoyed Taivas Elam Hazeh more, Albert Einstein or Rockefeller? The answer is Einstein. That would be an example, because Rockefeller was in the world of Taiva, so all his energies were in that world. So the pain in the end of his life was immense, as opposed to the pleasure. Whereas Einstein, who really wasn't looking for that, and so you look into his psychological life, he had a much, much, much more enjoyable existence. Much more enjoyable existence. Psychological. And psychological pleasure. Yeah, even with regard to an Einstein, insofar as the psychological realm, it still wasn't worth it. Fazal, I'm not talking about when he's immersed, insofar as the person's immersed in his chachma. Because insofar as the person's immersed in his chachma, certainly it's more pleasurable. There's no question about it. Because who could have more enjoyment? I mean, even the world says. I mean, there's a Heine Damrienchi, like Fazal say. The world says, who enjoys life? Scientists and baseball players. Yeah. but what it means is, because even the world recognized, I don't know if it's true anymore today, because today in the world of science, it became already competition. But I guess by baseball they mean a person that can go back to their childhood. But that's not true either. But anyways, they don't do that in the world of baseball either. But the point is, insofar as chachma is concerned, there is no doubt that a person that really enjoys chachma, that's what Taisa says. That it's not talking about tzaddikim. That's what I take Taisa to mean. What Taisa means is that insofar as an individual is a stam b'nei adam, he means the regular, ordinary pleasures. See, Taisa already cited what are Chazal talking about? So what do you mean? How can you possibly say that Nerach Lovin Shol Nivra? Because a person who's involved in Chachma, had a whole day of endless enjoyment. I mean, every idea, every thought. There's nothing that gives a person more satisfaction. Even on, I'm not talking about the soul, on a psychological plane, an understanding and knowledge, it's exciting, it's an adventure. Basically, that's why chachma, by the way, doesn't have the defect of desire. Because in chachma, every step is enjoyable. Because the question is not a desire for the answer, the question is the enjoyment of seeing something that is astonishing. Okay, that's like what Moshe Rabbeinu say, Asura nova eres amara agad lazeh, madua lo yivar asneh. It's an amazing thing. The mind is amazed. A person has a desire for the answer, that's an egoistic desire. But the mind doesn't really look for an answer. The mind is amazed at the sight. The sight itself is, the question itself is something which is enjoyable and amazing to the mind. And then the answer is even more enjoyable. So in the world of thought and ideas, you don't suffer that defect of the desire. You don't have that defect. If the person is learning the Shema, if the person really is looking for Chachma, so there's no question that a person that's involved in that world, insofar as the psychological, it's infinitely greater. You can't even compare it. It's not even up to question. But that wasn't their question. See, that's what Taisa says. Insofar as the life of the tzaddik is concerned, ashrei lov, ashrei dora. It means insofar as that person's life is concerned, definitely there's infinitely greater pleasure than pain. But insofar as his ordinary life is concerned, that's what they were arguing about, the ordinary life. Insofar as the ordinary life is concerned, can you have a life? An ordinary life, the person enjoys ordinary things, a certain psychological enjoyments, you have a life. And the question is, are they worth it or not? So that was Nidna Vagamru, and not.
Yeah. You want to point that out?
That's correct. That's correct. Yeah, in the area of learning also, that's why, on the contrary, a person isn't initially drawn to the area. He has to pull himself away from the instinctual in order to involve himself in learning. I mean, until a person reaches a certain level where the mind is constantly in the world of thought, but there's no draw. The funny thing, there's no draw.
Even afterwards.
Yeah, you're right. You know, you don't fantasize about the pleasure. You don't fantasize about the pleasure of ideas.
Right.
That happens to be true. You know, it's an interesting. You fantasize about the instinctual pleasures, but you don't fantasize about the pleasure of ideas. So there's no. You don't have the frustration of the desire there. So it's a different kind of mechanism. I don't think anybody really understands how it works. But apparently, the fact is that in the world of Chachma, you don't fantasize about it. That's why when a person sits down to learn, he doesn't really, he's not fantasizing about what's going to happen. But when he starts getting involved in the world of Chachma, all of it is he suddenly sees he's involved in a tremendously exciting world. Okay? So in the world of Chachma, you don't have that defect of the desire. In that world, you know, that's why Chazal, we're not questioning that. And so far as that's concerned, of course, it's Nivra. But their question was with regard to the normal psychological. The normal psychological. Is man, in other words, and so forth, if you minus out his Chachma, can an animal would appear that Chazal held that an animal has more satisfaction than pain in general, if he has good conditions. Okay, the animal seems satisfied. I mean, he's instinctual. He's living in a world where the animal's satisfying its needs, and it's an enjoyable existence. But the question was, is man the same way? Or because of the structure, of the intricate structure of the human mind, he lost that. He can't have a normal, happy existence. That's what Lactate says. You want to take the example, take Stam Bnei Adam. Okay, regular hearts. Right, he has a house, he has a car, he goes to work, a normal life. Can you say that just like a cow existed and had an enjoyable existence, he had an enjoyable existence. That's the area, if you want to examine, that's the area they were examining. You see, is there such a thing as normal happiness? I mean, this in our society, everybody's convinced that that's so. The only question is nobody's ever been able to find it. But they're convinced that it's so. But Chazal argued it theoretically, and the conclusion was that it doesn't exist. Okay, yes. See, the desire to know the truth is not to be the knower of the truth, but it's the desire for the truth. So when you have a question, that's just as much truth as an answer. So a question is truth too, because your mind saw it this way. Now you see it doesn't work this way. Oh, that's it. So you're attracted to that. You see, every step along the way, the mind is attracted to it. There's always enjoyment. A person, a real thinker, enjoys a question. Enjoys the question itself is enjoyable. I mean, that's the way the Torah describes Moshe Rabbeinu. Asura lo ve'eres amara agod lazeh madua lo yivar asneh. He saw asneh, v'hineh asneh bar v'esh v'asneh ninu uko. No cause and effect. Where's the cause and effect? So what are the way he described it? Asura lo ve'eres, it means that he was entranced by the problem. The problem. Where's the cause and effect? He wasn't in pain. On the contrary, he was drawn to it. That's what I think. In this society, people are convinced that is true. That you could have a nice, normal, happy existence, you know, a nice family, a nice house, nice car, nice job, this. Doesn't exist. Pure fantasy, pure illusion. That's Nidna Vagamru. I mean, they gave it a lot of thought. And they concluded that it's false. That's it. That was the issue. Aristotle maintained that if a person, I mean, asked at a certain degree of rationality, but he maintained that life is enjoyable. That he disagreed. He held the opposite view. He held that a person that lives rationally, he held that the psychological enjoyment will be greater than the psychological pain. That's what he held. In my opinion, the principles that were uncovered in modern psychology show that Aristotle was wrong. It seemed that way on the surface. You could present some arguments that if a person lives, he held, if a person lives according to Chachma, that he could have a more, even the instinctual could be more enjoyable, because life is pleasant, life is enjoyable. And a lot of arguments he could use, naturalistic type of arguments, but basically I think that the discoveries of that were made insofar as the human psyche is concerned in the last 100 years show that Chazal were right. That's impossible. Yeah. Okay. You mean Bertrand Russell's Conquest of Happiness? Yes, you're right. The Conquest of Happiness by Russell. I haven't read it in a long time. But you're right. Now that you remind me, that's correct. He tried to say that you could be, that was the Conquest of Happiness. You want to see arguments, in favor the other side. I don't think he was on the level to produce the arguments of Chazal. But, if you want to see an approach, the way he approached, he was convinced that you can work out your life in a way that the psychological is really worth it. It's worthwhile. Yeah. He had some good points, but I remember after I finished the book, I wasn't that happy. But anyways, in my opinion, what was lacking in that book was an in-depth understanding of the structure of the human psyche with its complex, its complex nature. I don't think he didn't have that. He didn't really strike down deep. Okay, but anyways, Yosef Das Yosef Macho is not really a philosophy. Yosef Das, you see, a lot of times in Kehelas, he zeroes in on certain aspects of life. Doesn't necessarily mean that he's giving you a whole, he's summing up everything. He's saying that there is such a thing as Yosef Das Yosef Machov. He's pointing out to something. He's pointing out that a lot of things that a simpleton will enjoy, if he really had a mind to see what's happening, he would be in pain. That's what he's... It's not a conclusion. It's a facet. It's a facet. And in Kehelas, you have a lot of facets, you see. So that's... But there's something else I would ask you. I'm not going to that pasuk right now. Yes, it doesn't. But I ask you something else. What is the difference between this Chazal and between Kehelas? In other words, in Kehelas, what does he say? He says, of davar kol nishmo, eselokim yirav, es mitzvos v'shmor, kizeh kol adam. And what do we say? We say that basically he concludes, you remind me, he concludes that what? He concludes that in terms of the human existence, so it's not worth it. It's not worth it. And kizek kol ha'adam, that the only thing there is what? Is basically the real world of Chachma mitzvahs, perfection. That's his conclusion. So what's between his conclusion and what Chazal is saying? Yeah, that's the question. If Kehelas already made that decision, what's the difference in Kehelas between this? The difference is like this. The difference is Kehelas is analyzing it from a philosophical point of view, and the Chazal are analyzing it from a psychological point of view. In other words, Kehelas is analyzing what life is all about. He's taking the whole life, and he's saying, what is human life? So is it hedonism? Is it this? Is it that? So in the end, he concludes that the only life for man is the life of Chachma. Okay. But he's not going into whether it's not the psychological. It's the life of Chachma, kizeh kol ha'adam. Okay. But he's weighing the good. What is the good? It's a philosophical question in Kehelas. What is the good? Is the good the non-material perfection, or is the good to be Moshech by Yayin as Besaro and to be involved in empire building and all these other things? He's analyzing what the good for man is. Okay, and he concludes the good for man, kizek kol adam, is only the world of Chachma. But he's not analyzing whether in the psychological, whether it's worth it or not. That's the question of Chazal. It's a different question. Two different, one is philosophical, one is psychological. Okay. Hafoch bov, hafoch bov, dekula bov. What does it mean, hafoch bov, hafoch bov, dekula bov? So some people think it means that if you want to know how to perform surgery, you should learn a Gemara. It doesn't make any sense. What they mean is what Chazal mean, afokhba, the kulaba means that Yahadus is built on genuine principles. All true principles. Everything Yahadus is built on truth. So therefore, you should know when you have a Maimar Chazal, Hafokhba Vafokhba Dekula, because this is built on the ultimate truth with regard to all reality. So it runs very deep. So Hafokhba Vafokhba Dekula, it's all built on everything. Everything has to fit in order for this Chazal to be... since that's the case, I mean, the surface... If the surface has to run very deep because it's all built on underlying truths. That's what I mean. So, yes, me, Chazal, I don't know. I have to analyze. Okay. I just want to take up one more point. Something that we touched on, which was thinking about it, and I saw that we left it go, but really it deserves more analysis. I think it's an important point. We touched on, I think it was a few weeks ago, the concept of shir. Okay, in the Migdash you had shir. We explained the last thing we were talking about also, right? The concept of shir. Okay, I just want to get back to that for a moment. So in the Migdash, as we were doing it yesterday, and so that in the Migdash the way they had the shir was there was a Seder. On the first day was Kol Hashem Alamoyim, which means they showed that that's Gvuros, that Gvuros Hashem is, Gvuros means that, well, why is Mashi Baruch Amar Degashim Gvuros? Why is that Gvuros? What does that have to do with Gvuros? The rain is a cycle, so what's the Gvuros? But the Gvuros is because the Ashgach v'nasati Gishmechem Be'itam, because God intervenes with the general process because of man. So therefore, he is the ultimate power. That's the idea of a gibor. Is a gibor is one who can change the given situation. That's a gibor. A gibor means a person can have the battle, do battle, and the forces the opposing forces are very powerful, and he can change it, and he can be victorious over the opposing forces. That's gvur. So God is the only real gibor. So God is the only one that is over all the forces. Kol Hashem Alamoyim. That's what it means. Havel Hashem B'nei Elam, Kol Hashem Alamoyim, Kela Kavad Hirim, Ad Hashem Alamoyim Rabin. It means the most powerful forces, God controls them. So that's Gvuros. That's Gvuros. Okay, that's why Masha Baruch Amar Goshem is Gvuros. So that's the first day. Then the second day was what? The second day they gave the people Musa. The essence is that the Vela Rosha Malakim Malachol Asapar Chukai. So God says to the Rosha, what are you learning Torah for? Rosha has no business being involved in the world of Torah and Chacham. So it means to say that that's a contradiction. That's a contradiction to his existence, and he's just using it in order to convince himself that he's a righteous person. So that's why they gave them Moshe. So he came to the Beis Hamikdash to be Mesameach. But if you're not Chazer B'Tshuva and you partake of the Simcha, it's simply hypocritical. It's worthless. Don't even come here. Don't even appear. Don't fool yourself. But Russia, and then in the end of the parak, it tells you that God says, but if the person does Tshuva, then God opens up the roads, the paths for that person to be Chazer B'Tshuva. Okay. Even though he's a Russian. So that was the second day was Musa. And the third day was what? The third day was, excuse me? Third day was, they reversed it. Right. They reversed it. So the third, okay. The third day was really that even though they were in the second base of Migdash, they were always bitzar, always in pain, but still, the fact that's the Kemat Shachna Dumanafshi, right? So they still, even though they were in tremendous pain, but they came to the Beis HaMikdash to be Mesameach, which shows you it's a whole different idea of Simcha. It's a very important concept. It means, of course, the pagan religions, they come to make a feast, because what they're doing is, the feast is for their gods that gave them a good life. But Klal Yisrael is just the opposite. It has nothing to do with what God gave us or didn't give us. I mean, that's God's chesed. So even though they were bitzar and they were under the dominion of the Romans, the Greeks, during that period, But nevertheless, they came to the Middash, and it was Yontif, they were Mesameach, because the Simcha is based upon the reality.
Well,
they still, even though they were in tremendous pain, but they came to the base of Migdash to be Mesameach, which shows you it's a whole different idea of Simcha. It's a very important concept. It means, because the pagan religions, they come to make a feast, because what they're doing is the feast is for their gods that gave them a good life. Aquarius Row is just the opposite. It has nothing to do with what God gave us or didn't give us. I mean, that's God's judgment. So even though they were Bitsar and they were under the dominion of the Romans, the Greeks, during that period, but nevertheless, they came to the Middash, and it was Yontif, they were Mesameach, because the Simcha is based upon the reality of God's existence and the Chachmas HaTorah and the whole Chachma of the system. So it has nothing to do with how your year was. It's a different kind of a Simcha. And only Klal Yisrael has that Simcha. That's a different Simcha Lefnei Hashem. Of course, it's a different God, a different Torah, a different Simcha. It's a whole different experience. So that was the concept of that's expressed which Yom is it? It's a Yom Chamishi. So even though they were in pain, but nevertheless they came to the Migdash and they enjoyed the Simcha of the Torah, of the Mitzvahs, of the Chachmas HaTorah, of the Migdash. It didn't interfere with them. Their personal life, the pain they experienced in their personal life, didn't take them away from the ability to be Mesameach. Okay, so that's an important concept. Yeah, so that was the third day. Then the fourth day was what? But they reversed it. Okay, but the fourth day was Binu Borim Ba'om. Was Binu Borim Ba'om means that a person should do mitzvahs not because of social approval, but only because he knows that this is right, as Ram say, because it's emes, and he also emes because it's emes. And tzedakah is something which is a private thing. If you owe somebody money, so you have to pay him back because he has a look. You can't face him. So there you can't say that you're doing it because of the reality of mishpat. But in tzedakah, no one knows. So you didn't give him tzedakah and get away with it. So binu borim ba'am means that you think that God, if it's just, so how could you not do it? Because there's no social pressure. But the fact is, God knows. I know Tozan Allah Yishma. So that was the Shira of four. And the fifth was Divrei Tanchumen. The fifth was then the Divrei Tanchumen that the Chag. Is the Chag gives you the person the schus of Geshem, the Chag Nidun Olamayim, because of the Chag they have the schus of Geshem, so they should realize that they're in a superior position because they're members of Klal Yisrael. They have additional benefits. In other words, every person has a certain rights, and God judges every individual. But if you weren't a member of Klal Yisrael, so then your rights would be based on your personal evaluation. But since you're a member of Klal Yisrael, so you have a superior claim, because you're Am Hashem, and Am Hashem has to exist in a certain manner in order to reflect for the whole world the idea of perfection. So therefore, V'nasati Gishmechem Be'itam really is not because you deserve it. It could be you deserve it, but there's an additional reason why Klal Yisrael has Ashgacha insofar as their needs are concerned, and that is because they're Am Hashem, and Am Hashem has to live a certain way. Whatever you just ask me, and I'll give it to you. So it means to say, so that's a separate schus. So that was Divrei Tanchumen to the Am, that they should realize, make them feel good, that their request for Geshem is not based just on what they were on their own worthiness, but is based on the fact that they're part of the Klal Yisrael. So that was the fifth day. And the sixth day was what? Sixth day was the concept of tzedakah. That tzedakah is based upon tzedek, that there's two types of justice and injustice. One is between individuals, that's mishpat, when you have a dispute. And the other kind of justice is that there's always an existing social injustice, and the person who's a member of that society has an obligation to correct the social injustice. And that's the ani. Because the ani is not, you don't determine an ani by how many hours they work, you determine a situation. So why do I have to help him? He's lazy. He answers if he's an Ani, there's something wrong with him. That's not normal. So he's suffering. He's suffering because he's a member of society. You're a member of that society. You have a responsibility. It's an injustice. You have to correct the injustice. That's why tzedakah comes from the word tzedek. Okay? Tzedek means justice. So there's injustice in terms of individuals, one individual oppressing another individual. That then you go to din, and that's mishpat. But then there's an existing social injustice that you have a responsibility to correct, and that's expressed in the mitzvah of tzedakah. Okay, so basically, when you think about it, that's the whole list, right? But when you think about it, there's one question. The question is, why is that shear? What's that have to do with shear? It sounds like musa. The whole thing is musa. Where is the shear? Where is the shear element? Shear, you'd think it's shear shvacha, hallel v'zimra. Okay, the last halalukah, the halalukah's a shear shvacha. Where is the shear over here? I mean, this doesn't seem like shear. It seems like musa. And sefer tehillim is shear. It's an amazing thing. And sefer tehillim is shear. So where is the shear? It's not shear. You're telling... Now, what are you doing in the Beis HaMikdash? Get out of here. You have no business being here. You're a Rasha. You're fooling yourself. So what does that got to do with Shir? Shir is supposed to be, how does the world translate? Hymns. Hymns to the Almighty. It doesn't sound like hymns. Musa. It's a totally different thing. It's a contradiction. I mean, what kind of a thing is this? Okay? You know, the question is pretty obvious. There's another question. There's another question that you have here, really in the tefillahs every day. Have you got an Otah tefillahs over there? Otah tefillahs Allah. Right. Like, for instance, in Tachana, okay? So you say it every day in Tachana. All the upper courses jumped onto this thing. I thought it was a tremendous kasher. It's tremendous kasher. So how can we have it in Tachana? Yeah, it says, Shiva ad Hashem in Tachanun, Racham HaKadosh Lefanecha, okay, so then you go on, and you say, V'nafshi nivela ma'od, V'ato ad Hashem ad Masoi, Shiva ad Hashem chalza nafshi yoshein leman chazdecha, ki ein ba'moves zichrecha, b'sh'ol miyodalach. He doesn't believe in Hashar HaSanefesh, okay? Yeah, but it's really, you have it in many places. For instance, you have it in, David Melch says it in many places. He says it, you have it before Baruch Shomar, so what do you say? You say, Mizmah Shechon HaKasabayas David, right? You say, Mabetza Bedomi Beridati El Shachas. Okay? What value is there if I go into the grave? Hayotcha Ofar? Will Ofar praise you? Hayagir amitecha? Okay. So, again, he seems to be saying that after a person dies, there's nothing. And many psukim like that. Lo amesim ya'aluka. Right? So what does it mean? I mean, you say it every day. What does it mean? It sounds like fear. It sounds like fear. We that's what we believe, that after a person passes away, is nothing remains. He's just offer. I mean, what are these statements? You say it every day. You say it's incorporated in the Tachanun. Tachanun is a tefillah which is closest from an emotional standpoint. Is closest to a person's inner self. Okay, to the inner self. The Tachanun is really the tefillah where the person pours out his heart insofar as his inner existence and experiences are concerned. I mean. It's not like formal, the tefillah of the Shemon Esrei is formal requests, but the Tachanun is really is the most serious kind of, from an emotional standpoint, the most serious kind of tefillah. I mean, that's why he sits on the ground, and it's a very emotional kind of a tefillah. It's even that's why it's for afterwards. It's not omid lifnei hamelech. Like in Shemon Esrei, you don't have a right to do that. You have to place your personal requests and work it out theoretically, formulate it properly. It's a different thing. A Tachanun is more where the person simply has a right to complain. I mean, about his own personal existence. It's a different kind of. It's more like in the realm of complaining than being mispalel. It's a different kind of thing. A person has a right to do that Tachanun after tefillah. Different kind of thing. But the but over there you're saying that it's that the that that is that if that there's nothing afterwards. I mean, how could a person say something? What does it mean? So the I think the answer to both questions, the answer to both questions is really in an understanding of what shir is. See, what is shir? What is shir? So shir, really, the model for all shir is taken from the Torah. Oz Yashir is the first shir. That's really the first formulation of shir. And all tilim follows from that, really. And that's why you say Oz Yashir after you finish the in the morning, after you finish the halukas, you say Oz Yashir, because that's really the source of it. That's the first shir. Oz Yashir of those. So what is the concept? What is the concept of shir? See, I think that in the concept of shir, see the first of all, first thing I would say is let's go back to the shir shel yom in the Mikdash. So there is one way, I mean, of approaching it a little closer, which is that what are you really saying? Why is it shir? Because it's really midos HaKadosh Baruch Hu. For instance, say Velo Rosh Amalekim Amalech Al Asap Achukai. So that's Midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Everything that you make, Binu Borim Ba'om, Anota Ozan Alo Yishma, Midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kol Hashem Al Amoyim is Midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Every one of those things, you see, while it's Divrei Musar, it goes hand in hand. It's Divrei Musar, but it's Midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, it's Midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So what does it mean? Tell me the lesson. The last one is simply is what I call it is. But all, it's also midas kadosh baruch hu. Yimot kolmos de'aretz. It means every the whole side to be destroyed. That's everything is ultimately is midas kadosh baruch hu. So you see that shir is tied to midas kadosh baruch hu. Shir is tied to midas kadosh baruch hu. So why is it called shir? I mean, what is it? On the one hand, it's Midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu. On the other hand, it's Divrei Musar. It's human perfection. You see. So what is it? It's like, seems like two different subjects, you see. But the truth of the matter is that what it means is that human perfection can only take place through the knowledge of Midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what it means. In other words, what is the greatest musar? The greatest musar is Yedias Hashem. That's it. You know who I think says that have you got a sforno? Yeah, sforno is like this. The sforno in the end of Tazria. Okay, he says like this. It's which pasuk is it on? Once I do it, pasuk. It's I gotta find the beginning of it. It's on pasuk Mem Zion. It's on Pasuk Mem Zayin in the end, in Perek Yud Gimel. Am I right? Right. Now he says like this. He says, "V'ze omnom ze kiyomnom aminu anushi hu atachos hamachuvim b'mitzius." Okay. Ki ulevad amuchan mikulam lios doma leborei b'moskalos. He says the whole objective of the creation is fulfilled in man because he's the only one that could be like his creator. The muskalos of the masios, kasher heyid hu yisbarach bamra b'tzalmenu kid musenu. The yitzdak ze b'chol echad me'ishe ha'odam b'sichlo ha'ishi, and this can come about through in man through his. This comes about man through his seichel ha'nikra tzelam alokim, uvekocho ha'bechirayi, and his ability to choose and to choose rationally insofar as his personal life is concerned, ha'nikra dmus elokim. He says, "Ki yodam levado b'nevram u'bal b'chira, v'chaasher yisorel is bonei mitzius boro, v'godlo v'tuvo asher boro hu rav chesed v'emes v'hem osetz dokol mishpat." And when he analyzes and contemplates and understands and ponders the existence of God, so then he says, "Vachshes boni v'hikir zeh." After his bani, he understands what? He understands midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu, godlo v'tuvo, rav chesed v'emes, osetz doko mishpat. And once he understands that, and he arrives at that conclusion that his creator has these midos, he says, v'hikirzeh, yelech b'drochav lasos ritzono kirtzono. Hine zebu isofik doma labaro, yosem mikol shor nevron. So there's no doubt that man on a perfected... on a perfected level, is more like the Creator than any other existence, because he's rooted in Seichel and his life is organized according to Seichel and understanding. Who talks on mechuv and meis abori amamzi ka'omra v'tzadik yisod olam. Okay, and that's where he says. Also, that's why he says that he talks about hashgacha. And he says that's the one we're talking about. Shachar. He says like the Rambam. He says that a person that is not under, that is not, does not exist in that manner, where he's a makir es baro and where he has a metaphysical knowledge. He says then he's just like kishar mine balechayim ashelo tipal hashgacha elokis biyishehem avo b'mineim bovad. Then only the species is under hashgacha. Okay, but not as a species, but not as individual. He says, "V'kasher bochar buma Yisraelis, k'mamar b'chol bochar Hashem liyasul olam segula v'zem neishet tikva samachuv meiz baruch hi yoser reuya matzuya b'ishi zosa uma." So he says that God's will is more fulfilled in this nation than in other nations. He says, "Gamna metzias abori v'ardusa nora b'ktsasam." He says some of them understand Achdus Hashem, umakubo b'kulam e'avos, and they all accept it. Ka'amar noda b'Yehuda elokim. Kosav lo rosa matorah, so that's why God taught them the Torah. Vuachelik ha'iyuni v'amitzvos, vuachelik ha'masi. Okay, and then he says like this, he says that, and then he goes to the hashgacha on the Uma as a whole, and then he says... that just this is one of them. This is the Gerson thing that took it out. There's one Gerson that took it out. It's not here. Yeah, but the real Gerson, in the story, you have the from the where he says. Yeah, that's what he says. So he says like this. He says the kasha yikras alodim bishgogo shiyotze meito, and when a person veers off the course, so to speak. In other words, it could be he was a tzaddik, but then he veers off the course, and then God brings onshim on him. Hine yisyaser b'mamono o b'gufo. So then he will receive an onish either in his property, his money, or physically. Kefi achochma lokis lahoy rozno, in order to awaken him from his error. Omnom, he says, as it says, vayigal oznam lamusa. So that's the ashgacha. The ashgacha will bring an onish on such a person to wake him up from his chait. He says, Omnam, he says, Hanir Domim, those are the ones that are really in a deep sleep. Asher lo hisoru kla ladas davim mizeh, they don't know anything about metaphysics or anything. Vehein kol b'nei anecho v'rov ha'u, all the world, v'rov ha'u ma Yisraelis. He says, and most of the Jewish people. Zulasi yechidei sgula, except for a very few, heim b'li sofek tachas hanhogas hateva v'agormiyim hashomaymiyim. So then he says, yes, that they're under the natural law, but there's no hashgacha. Like the Ram and the Ramban, hanechbadim meosim bnei adam kishar mini balechayim ashelotipo hashgacha alokis b'shehem. There is no hashgacha on them personally. Avo b'minehem bovad, only in the species as a group. So that's what he's saying. He's explaining that Klal Yisrael has a special hashgacha. That's what we mentioned before. They have a special hashgacha. Why? Because they all accept the facts. But in Klal Yisrael, the only ones that are under hashgacha are the ones that really have the knowledge, like he says before. But what is that knowledge? He says what perfects the individual is the knowledge of his creator. Okay, the knowledge of his creator. Meaning studying and understanding Midos HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When a person understands Midos HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, and he understands what HaKadosh Baruch Hu means, the ultimate reality, then he sees what reality is, he naturally falls in line with that reality. That's the biggest muscle. So you see, so the Shir Shel Yom is really Midos HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's really Midos HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Musar is Musar, but the Musar is describing Midos HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And once he understands Midos HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so then he's Chosen B'Tshuva. But the element of Shir still needs a little explanation. The other question is, what do you mean, Mabetza B'dom Ritzel Shachas Hayot Chof HaYagin Ritecha? What does that mean? What I want to say is like this, that Shir, what is Shir? Shir is really the triumph of the individual, you see, is the triumph of the individual, the Nefesh HaRuchni, over the Nefesh HaBahami. Which means to say like this, that when the side of the person that is the Nefesh HaRuchni realizes and understands Midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's a triumph over the Nefesh HaBahami. And that triumph causes him to express Shira. That causes him to burst forth with Shira, Shira LaKadosh Baruch Hu. See? And really you say it in Baruch Shema. They say, V'shiri David Avdecho, Na'alelcho, Hashem Elokeinu, B'shvachos V'zmiros, N'gadelcho, N'shabeichacho, and our girsa is V'namlichacho Malkeinu. It doesn't mean Namlichacho, it means Yimamlich HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Means that once the person recognizes and understands, so it's a triumph of the soul over the emotions. Triumph of the Nefesh HaRuchni over the Nefesh HaBahami. The person expresses himself in Shira. You see? And that's really Oz Yashu Moshe, Esar Shizal Hashem. Because they were going to be destroyed by the Egyptians, and they were under the tremendous fear, but then they saw, the Gvuras Hashem, and there was a conflict. And the end of the conflict was that they expressed themselves in Shira. What is the Shira from? Because first they thought that they're going to be destroyed. But then there was a triumph of the recognition of God. When a person goes through the difficulties that the Nefesh HaBahami puts him through, and then if he emerges from that, and sees the truth which the Nefesh HaRuchni portrays, then he expresses himself in Shira. So that's Mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Shira really, that's what Shira really is. So that's why David HaMelech always says, Lo Meis Mi'aluka, Bishol Mi'odoloch. What it means is all those things mean that after a person's dead, so then there's no more struggle. There's no more struggle. So there cannot be the Shir that we have, because they ask Akasha, they say, what do you mean after death? I'm not satisfied with his answer. Right? So Tfilis asked the question. He asked the question on the Mizmer Shir. You'll take a look. Mizmer Shir, Chonez Laz Lovet. He asked the question. His answer is very unsatisfying. But because he says, Chazal say that that a person is always Meshabech, even Lachamisa is Meshabech, Malachala Meshabech, Kodesh Baruch Hu. Say, right? Nekash Yomar Chemshir is Tobashme Ma'al. So you say Kedusha. Kishem Jemagdishim Asavashim. The Shiva Samalachim. What does it mean? That's a different kind of Shiva. The shira that a malach says is a different kind of shira. That's a shira of, that's simply shira that stems from an understanding of a Kadosh Baruch Hu's mahus, a Kadosh Baruch Hu, insofar as is possible. But the shira that a person says in this life is a different kind of a shira. It's a shira that emanates from a triumph from being triumphant due to the struggle, you see. Then the person says Shia. What does Pasuk say? Pasuk says, the end is there. Avani b'chaschov atachti yogel libi b'shiosecho ashiru l'Hashem ki gomol loy. Ashiru l'Hashem b'chayor. Zam l'kei ba'odi. That's only, there's a Shia that can only take place in this existence. That Shia is not lachamisa. That year is only because of human nature and because of the struggle, is a shear that emerges from being triumphant in terms of the soul's triumph over the Nefesh HaBahami. That's a unique shear. That's why Don Ramesh Malukah is talking about that year. He meant to say, if I don't emerge from this struggle, then it's going to be too late, Lachamisa. Lachamisa, there can't be such a shear. That shear is only possible for a human being when he's alive. So the shear in the Mikdash, that was the shear in the Mikdash. The shear in the Mikdash, it's a different idea. We have a different idea of shear. As I said, God doesn't need our praises. Whatever we say is nonsense. You need a matter to praise God. But the shear is an expression of the triumph of the soul over the nefesh abahamim, and that's why it's divrei musar and midas hakadosh baruch hu. Because the divrei musar and the understanding of midas hakadosh baruch hu is what brings the person to the state of reflection where he understands and he sees through the fallacies of the nefesh abahami in the false world, and then he sees the real world, and he emerges with shira. You see, that's the shir. That's the v'shiri David Avdecha. That's what shir David Avdecha means. Tehillim, but tehillim is ideas, and tehillim is musar, as you see. I mean, so why is it a shir? The answer is from studying Midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu and understanding our shortcomings and understanding the falsehood. A lot of it is just breakdown of the falsehood of the nefesh abahami, but that brings about the true shear for a human being. That shear is only in this world. That shear you can't have in the next world. Next world is a different tzaddikim, yoshim, atrasim, rajim, and then mizir hashchina. That's a different thing. But then the struggle's over. You can't have that kind of a shear. Oz yoshir is not an olam. In Olam Ames. Olam Haba, yes, that's different. But not in Olam Ames. Olam Ames, you can't have Shiva.
Right.
Okay. Yeah, okay, right. It says, you're in Yalucha. Achizdecha, Oser Sanecha, Chomei Sol, right? Yodu, Rivachu, Rishav, Kufar, Vyomer, Yalisha, Gdish, Yamlich, Lashim, Chamalkeno. So Mamlech means, what does it mean, Yamlech, HaKadosh Baruch Hu? It means that before you want. I mean, before there was a struggle, you had problems. But in the end, when he sees the truth, then he expresses shira and he's mamlech hakadosh baruch hu. That's the shira. That's the shira David Avdecha. That's my betza begon l'rid al shachas hayotcha ofa yagen amitecha. That's what he's saying tachanun. Shira machazer game b'mova sechrecho b'shol miyodeloch. It means zechrech over there means doesn't mean that there's no knowledge of God. It's a different kind of knowledge. Came up as zechrech b'shol miyodeloch. There's no sheref ador. There's no knowledge of God in that sense, in the sense of knowledge which illuminates a person's life in terms of the struggle. That is only here. That's law mason halukah. Okay, it's where the emotions fall in line with the ideas. That's a difference. The emotions join in the true knowledge. That's what shir is. And you need emotions for that. That's correct. That's where the emotions join. That's the opposite of the lev or even the orlas halev. That's the opposite of orlas halev. So for that you need emotions. If you're without emotions, you don't have shir. Shir is emotions. It's the emotions falling in line with the ideas. Somebody asked me if shir is spontaneous. It's spontaneous. If shir is spontaneous. Yes, shir is spontaneous, but it's spontaneous after the struggle, after you overcome the struggle. Okay, just to sum up, yafashvesh is really psychological knowledge because it's where the person analysis of how the person's straight, and yamashmesh is philosophical knowledge, weighing objectively the good and the bad. Okay.